ಪ್ರಿಯಾ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತ ವಿಧಾನ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂತಿ ತ್ರಿಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾಲ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೌ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಮಿ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಗುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ All glories to the symbol devotees, all glories to the symbol devotees, all glories to the symbol devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shabadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nirinamine Namaste Sarasvadevim Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesh Shunyavari Pashatya Deshadarini ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ಲೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಶ್ರೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವದೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿದರದಶ್ಚ ಕೇಶ ವಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾನ್ ಹೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯದಿ ಸೂರಯಾನ್ ತೇಜೋ ವಾಯುಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ಧಾಮ್ನಾಶ್ರೇಣ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈಲವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಮಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವ ಮಂತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿಕೃದೇ ಕಿಂವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯ ನೇತ್ರಕೃತಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭೀತಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪತರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಭಮುಖಾರಮೃದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ಪಿಬತ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋರಸಿಗಾಭು ವಿಭಾವುಕಾಂ ಸಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಮನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಾಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇ ವಿದನ್ಮಯತರವೋಭಿನೇತು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರವೇಗಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿತಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂಗಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿನಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೋನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲವೇಣುಕುಲಿತಾಕೃತಾನನಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಜಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭತಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರಿನ್ನ ಕನಿಕಾಭಿಕಾಭಿಕಾಭಿ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रयारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य आदेशधारिणी श्रीमद् गुरु चरणारविंदाभ्याम नमः वंदे नंद प्रजस्त्रीणां पारेणुमधीशशां यासां हरियदोगीलं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविंद परमानवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजित चक्रशंखं कौमोदरी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधा सहाय मदि सुंदर मंदहासं वदालेशमनिशं कृभावयामि उमवं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारयां वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म वासदाम्बुरलो मम मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति यद्रुवाहमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमन्द्राधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द Yesterday, in this chapter, three modes of material nature, Krishna is saying to us that based on the Purusham Sattva Samyuktam Anumiya Shamadibi Kamadibi Rajoyuktam Krodhade Tamasayuktam, based on the qualities that develops in a person, like shamam, damam, control of the mind, control of the senses, so on and so forth, what's spoken in the second verse, tridiksha, tapas, satyam, daya, smriti, tushti, tyagam, pratha, shraddha, kri, daya, sunurvriti. All these qualities, Krishna is saying, will be there in a person if his mode of worship is in goodness. If the mode of worship is in passion, in rajogunam, then kamam iha madam trishna tamham ashirbhida sutham madam ulsaham yashasya prayidhi hasim. All these things will come with the rajogunam and with the tamogunam. That means, he says, that tamasavrittis, which he has spoken before, all those things Krishna says is tamoguna pradhanam. Those who have got tamogunam in them, their worship will be combined with these qualities. In other words, after that Krishna is saying that, again coming back to sattva prakriti or the mood of goodness, ya yada bhajanimam bhaktiya, verse 10, yada bhajanimam bhaktiya nirabheksha sokarmabhi tam sattva prakritim vidyar purusham striyam evava. Yada niravesha sokarma bhi bhaktyamam bhajani tam purusham striyam va sattva prakritim vidyar. When Krishna says somebody who has no desire, no expectations from Krishna, but at the same time executing his karma with bhakti in this world, then whether he is a man or a woman, Krishna says they are dominated by goodness. They are dominated by goodness. For example, when one has no desires, and then based on his own dharma, whatever karma has given, come to him through that due to praradham, and in executing that karma, and at the same time continuously serving Krishna without any expectations from him, whether it's a woman or a man, Krishna says it doesn't matter. In him or in her, Sattvagunam is building up. That is what Krishna is saying. Sattvagunam is building up in that person, irrespective of it's a man or woman. Provided that that person is not expecting anything from Krishna, not only that, all his karma or prarabdham that has come in his life is accepting that without any complaints to Krishna and continuously engage in the karma at the same time with devotion to Krishna, he is living his life. Krishna says you have to accept that that person's bhakti is in sattvagunam. So sattvagunam is like that. When a devotee is, he has to carry on with whatever karma has been given to him by prarabdham. So many different kinds of karma has come to us. So executing that karma, but at the same time, not complaining to Krishna about anything. Whatever that's happening in life, good or bad, no complaints. Plus, always serving Krishna with devotion, hoping that one day Krishna will take us out of this material life. In this understanding, if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is saying that person, him or her, is in the mood of goodness. Sattvaguna pradhanam. That is what Krishna is saying here. That, and he also mentioned that this will only, this will only happen in men. It will also happen in the women. That is why specifically Krishna mentions there, purusham sriyam eva va. Both in the man and the woman, this can happen, Krishna says. So, there are many women also in that category. So, because of the sattvagunam, they have come to understand, I don't need anything in this world anymore. No more desires in this world. All I want is Krishna. I want to go back to Krishna. And Krishna's presence in the heart all the time. That desire. Always to be in touch with Krishna and to remember Krishna. So, and absorbed in that and satisfied in that. And if that happens, that means he's not expecting any more, anything further in this world. If it has come to that stage, then you can say there, and their prayer to Krishna is always asking for the grace or kripa. And when that mercy is coming from Krishna, happily accepting that without any complaints in this world, and in that way, they are living their life in this world. Living their life in this world. And no, it will not be disturbed by anything else. So that means they are very steady and fixed in their Krishna consciousness. And with that steadiness in their life, without having any desires inside, if one is executing spiritual life, Krishna is saying here, you have to take it that the sattvagunam in that person has grown to a very, very high degree. That is the symptom of a person in the sattvagunam. One who does not expect anything from Krishna, no desire, not asking anything, or also not complaining about anything what has happened in life to Krishna. At the same time, only relationship with Krishna is only for the sake of getting out of this material life. That desire he may have inside. Krishna is saying, if one lives in this world in that way, without expectation of any results from his, special mercy from Krishna for material happiness, and whatever prarabdham brings to life, accepting that, athapi de deva padambhujadvayam prasadalesha anugrihidameva hi janami dattvam mahimanvijinyom. In the, you will see this verse in the Brahmasuli, Lord Brahma saying to Krishna, athapi de deva padambhujadvayam prasadalesha anugrihidameva hi. If I receive a little bit of your mercy in this way, to understand who you are, to understand Krishna, once you understand Krishna, you will not ask anything from Krishna if you know who Krishna is. Because we do not know Krishna, we have want to go and ask from him, Krishna, some things. And basically that is what is the Lord Brahma is also saying. That desires and asking for different material happiness from Krishna, that has to go. Plus, whatever that comes in life, it's accepted without any complaints. Krishna is saying such a person is filled with sattvagunam inside. It is the result of that. Then, next verse, he says, Satvam yadama shishama shasyam ma bhajeda sakaram abhi tam reja pragradim vidyam himsa ashasyatam asam yadama shishama shasyam ma bhajeda sakaram abhi tam reja pragradim vidyam himsa ashasyatam asam. For example, when there is a lot of desires, and with those desires, if someone is coming to me, Krishna is saying here, that you have to consider that in him, the Rajogunam is very, very powerful, is present in him very strongly, Rajogunam is very powerfully present in him. And finally, Krishna says that himsa ashasya tamasam cha vidyan. Himsa ashasya tamasam. When somebody comes to me with the desire of destroying his enemies, or destroying anyone whom he doesn't like or whatever, dislike. In such cases, Krishna says he is dominated by tamogunam. Dominated by tamogunam. So, satvam rajastamaidi guna jivasya naivame chita chita jayistu bodhanam sajamano nibhadyade. 12. Satvam rajastamaidi guna jivasya naivame chitta jayistu bodhanam sajyamano nibhadyadem. Krishna says that this sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, does not belong to the jiva. They are not jiva's property. They have come from the prakriti. And Krishna says does not belong to jiva, it doesn't belong to me either. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, sattvam rajastama iti guna jivasya. It does not belong to the jiva, naiva me, does not belong to me either. Then, chitta jayistu bhudanam, sajjamano nibhadyate. Actually, they are originating from the mind. They are originating from the mind. You will see this Krishna's warning earlier in the 13th chapter. If you look, there is a verse, very important verse in the 13th chapter. He says there, that Ahamityan Sri Bhagavan Vacham 13:9. Ahamityan Yada Buddhi Pramatasya Yada Hrudi Ulsarpadi Rajo Ghoram Tado Vaikarikam Mana. That verse. Earlier Krishna said it is Tado Vaikarikam Mana. Where do they coming from? They come from the mind. They come from the mind. Mind is, remember I mentioned yesterday, mind is called Gunamayam. The products in the whole world is called Gunabhava. If the mind is in contact with the world outside, that means the Gunamayam mind is in contact with the Gunabhavam outside, the mind gets filled up with the three modes of nature. That is what Krishna is saying there. Ahamit anyada buddhi pramattasya yadakudi ulsarpadi rajoghoram tado vaigarigam mana. Krishna is saying, ahamit anyada buddhi. Anyada buddhi will come when the mind is strong. Anyadamudhi. Pravatasya yadahudhi. Pramadam will develop inside. Ulsarpadi rajoghoram. That powerful rajogunam will build up inside. Tado vaigarigam mana. Mind will get very emotional because of that. So, modes of nature does that to the mind. It agitates the mind and emotions builds up inside. So, Krishna is saying that these three modes of material nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they are not a part of jiva. In jiva, they are not existing. They are not a part of me, Krishna says. It does not come from me. It comes from the mind. So, that is important thing. So, when the three modes of material nature are coming from here, so, from chittam, chittajaha, that chittajaya is to bodhana. Chittam, from chittam they come. When we say mind, chittam, they are one and the same, based on the function. Manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. All these three, four things together is our subtle body. That is where it is originating from. Chitta jaya is to bodhana. Chittam means vasanas inside. Vasanas. So, from there they come. And when, when one gets, starts sticking to them, jiva is independent. But if jiva goes and starts sticking to this trigunam, what comes from the mind? Krishna says here, nipatyade, he gets bound. That's where bondage happens. If we separate, the jiva separates itself from the mind, then this would not happen. Always to be alert that modes of nature are coming from the mind, not a part of the jiva, not a part of Krishna either. So, that is what saying here, that when he starts sticking to the, when we get affected by the emotions in the mind, particularly the rajogunam there, sattvam rajastamayiti, all of them are present in the mind, and when they come up, we get attached to them, and the jiva gets bound by that. Because jiva does not have the capacity to move away from the mind, that is the reason why we are not getting liberated. The reason why we are not getting released, reason for that is that the jiva immediately gets affected by the mind. Mind controls the jiva. Mind, the modes of nature in the mind pulls the jiva towards that. And the jiva is not able to free itself from that power. All the three modes of nature are building up inside us. Inside us it's building up in the mind. So, they are originating from one's own chittam. And suppose he has managed somehow or the other, he has managed to move them away from there. And they won't go away easily. But somehow or the other, if you think that that gunabhavam has gone away, and this can happen if you have that sadhana or upasana of something which is not affected by the modes of nature. Anything which is not affected by the modes of nature, if that person or object, whatever that is, if you are able to do the sadhana in relationship with that object, then gunabhavam will go. And the only one thing in this whole creation without affected by gunabhavam is Krishna. Is Krishna. So, Krishna means Atma or soul, spirit, bodham, consciousness, prajna, nyakti, whatever way you call it, vastu. That's the only thing. Spirit, Atma is the only thing which is not touched by modes of nature. That we have to be very clear, that Krishna is not touched by any time by the modes of nature. So if the mind gets absorbed in an object which is not touched by the modes of nature, in due course, mind will get released from gunabhavam. If the mind gets released from gunabhavam, it will not cause any problem for jiva inside. So, and if there is no gunabhavam in him, then that person does not have any more birth either. Birth also comes to a stop. Because he will not have any desire anymore. It is because of gunabhavam inside. Gunabhavam means sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Because of gunabhavam inside, desires are coming. Due to tamogunam, desires come. To rajogunam, action comes. Due to sattugunam, desire for knowledge comes. So, once this gunabhavam has gone away from the mind, all desires will go and all connections with other things also will go. There won't be any more contact with anything, any more attachment to anything. In such cases, gunabhavam has completely gone, and because there is no contact with the gunam anymore, the natural way he goes back into his Sasurubha. Sasurubha Anubhuti. Experience of his own self will come back to him. So, therefore what is required is to remove this gunabhavam from inside. Gunabhavam, mind is gunamayam, isn't it? Gunabhavam, everything in the creation is gunam. Gunam only. Every person whom we meet is in gunam. Some gunam or the other. Everything, every food what we eat is under gunam. Every action we do in this world is under gunam. Every place we live in this world is under gunam. Every kind of happiness we get in this world is under gunam. So think in this way, what is there in this world without gunam? Nothing. Practically nothing in this world is without guna. So, that is the reason why Krishna is saying that the only escape route is you have to have something which is not touched by the modes of nature. And if we have constant contact with that vastu, Krishna, then gunam won't affect. Gunam won't affect us. So, first Krishna spoke about the effect of pure satogunam, pure rajogunam, pure tamogunam. Now, Krishna said, what happens when they are mixed? Last few verses were when they get mixed up. After saying this, in the next 17 verses in this chapter, what is Krishna saying? That with each gunam, if they build up in a person, what impact it will have on the person? If each gunam builds up in a person, what impact it will have? Yadi etarau jayel sattvam, that is the 13th verse. Yadi etarau jayel sattvam, bhasvaram nishadam shivam, tada sukhena yujyeda, dharmam jnanadibhi puman. Yadi etarau jayel sattvam, bhasvaram nishadam shivam, tada sukhena yujyeda, dharmam jnanadibhi puman. When sattva-gunam predominates, that means sattva-gunam win over rajogunam and tamogunam, at that time what will happen is that person will be in happiness. Happiness. He will abide by dharma in life. He will have knowledge. All these three things. First of all, he will be peaceful within. Shanti and therefore happiness. Secondly, he will abide by dharmam, principles of religion in life. Religious principles will follow. And finally, he will have proper knowledge of the life. Proper understanding of life will be there. So, when the sattva-gunam builds up in a person, when it becomes very strong in someone, and is able to go beyond the rajogunam and tamogunam in him. When that happens, that means he is dominated by sattva-gunam. Shuddha sattva sambandham is called. And suppose, imagine that is built up in his heart, in his mind, in that way. Tada sukhena yujyeda dharma jnanadibhi puman. Dharmam jnanam, these qualities will manifest in him. That means, for the sake of knowledge, for the sake of spiritual knowledge, he doesn't have to endeavor. It will come. In a natural way, it will come to him. That sattva-gunam power, as Krishna is saying, the power of sattva-gunam is such, without endeavoring for spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding will come from inside. And the Niyami will reveal to him from inside. He doesn't have to study or anything, because of the abundance of sattva-gunam inside him. In other words, he will become a jnani very easily. Because rajogunam, tamogunam has practically moved away and sufficient sattva-gunam has built up inside. And afterwards, the chances are that rajogunam or tamogunam will not have much impact on that person. Will not have the capacity to influence him very much. And he will not be affected by them in his life further. That's one. Next one. Yada jayel tamasattvam rajasangam vidabalam tada dukhena yujyeda karmana yashasa shriya. Yada jayel tamasattvam rajasangam vidabalam tada dukhena yujyeda karmana yashasa Shriya. When Sangam, Vedam, Balam, three things Krishna says. Sangam, Vedam, Balam. Sangam means attachment. Anywhere, if you build up attachment, Vedam, Veda Buddhi builds up inside. This is good person, this is a bad person, he is friendly, he is inimical, all these kind of things. And then he also feels proud of his own power, ability in him. All this is caused by Rajas and Tamas inside. When he wins over that, when that happens, that means Rajas and Tamogunam is predominating him, is dominating his life, his mind. In such a case, Krishna is saying, he will get attracted to fame and name and fame, opulences, lot of wealth in this world, and the result of all that distress, and a lot of activities for desires. This is all go together. Name and fame, desire for name and fame, desire for wealth, will be combined with distress and also a lot of actions based on desires, kamya karma, fruitive activities. All these things will happen at that time. When he is affected by rajogunam or tamogunam, when they dominate. So, all our experiences in this world, the cause of that is the mind. Mind is the cause behind everything, isn't it? Where do you experience everything? In the mind. And that mind is modes of nature. Mind is modes of nature. And every time, only when the modes of nature is present there, on their own or combined together, and that means it keeps changing. Sometimes higher rajogunam, sometimes lower rajogunam, sometimes more tamogunam, less tamogunam. Like this, up and down, when it happens like that, what kind of experiences he will have, that's what Krishna is talking about. Because gunabhavam inside, mind is gunamayam. So gunabhavam, when they come in, it's not constant, isn't it? It keeps up and down. Sometimes dominated by rajogunam, sometimes dominated by satogunam, sometimes dominated by tamogunam. So based on what dominates the mind, on that basis, what experience he will have, Krishna is saying there. So knowing this, Krishna's point is, understand all these things properly and try to remove them from inside and keep the mind pure as much as possible, not allowing the rajogunam, tamogunam to get inside. Otherwise, there will never be any peace in life. There will be no peace in life. And it is for that purpose Krishna is saying this. Only for that purpose. Unless there is shanti or peace, which is a symptom of satogunam, jnanam cannot build up. Knowledge won't have any effect. In rajogunam and tamogunam, even if you read Bhagavatam, you go for satsangam, do anything in this world, it won't be beneficial. Only in satogunam it helps. That is why Krishna is saying this to us, that it is in satogunam all our spiritual efforts will have some benefit. It will bring some results. So, asamishra gunam, that means when they are not mixed up, Krishna has spoken before, and that means it, when it is not mixed up, pure sattvam, pure rajasa, pure tamasa. And when they have, when pure sattvam is increased, what happens? When pure rajas increases, what happens? When pure tamogunam increases, what happens? That is what was spoken in that verses 2, 3 and 4. 2, 3 and 4. And now, as mentioned, Krishna mentions before, when satogunam is diluted with a little bit of rajogunam or a little bit of tamogunam, it is called malina sattva. It's not shuddha sattva. Malina sattva. Impure sattva. Impure sattva. And impure sattvam, when you have malina sattvam, it will not have the same effect of శుద్ధ సత్వం. శుద్ధ సత్వం విల్ గివ్ యూ వన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్, మలిన సత్వం విల్ గివ్ యూ అనదర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. విత్ మలిన సత్వం, మలిన సత్వం మీన్స్ ఇంప్యూర్ సత్వం, యూ విల్ నెవర్ హ్యావ్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ శుద్ధ సత్వం. నెవర్ హ్యావ్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ శుద్ధ సత్వం. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, సపోజ్ వెన్ వన్ హ్యాస్ శుద్ధ సత్వం, సపోజ్ హీ హ్యాస్ శుద్ధ సత్వం, వెరీ ప్యూర్ సత్వగుణం, ఇఫ్ హీ క్లోసెస్ హిస్ ఐస్ హీ విల్ సీ లైట్ ఇన్ సైడ్ ఇన్ శుద్ధ సత్వం. సపోజ్ ఆల్ హిస్ బాడీ ఈస్ ఇన్ సత్వగుణం, మైండ్ ఈస్ ఇన్ సత్వగుణం, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈస్ ఇన్ సత్వగుణం, ఇన్ ఆల్ ఫీల్డ్ దర్ ఈస్ సత్వగుణం ఇన్ ద పర్సన్. ఇఫ్ హీ క్లోసెస్ ది ఐ యూ విల్ సీ దర్ ఇస్ నో డార్క్నెస్ ఇన్ సైడ్, దర్ నో డార్క్నెస్ ఇన్ సైడ్. అండ్ ఇఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హ్యాస్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ తమోగుణం ఇన్ సైడ్, as soon as he closes the eye, it will be completely dark. That is the proof for that. If you close the eye, don't close now, close it later when you get home, and test yourself what's happening there. That is an indication of that. That when he closes the eye completely, you will see that it is not dark inside due to the presence of Satvagunam. Because Satvagunam means prakasham, isn't it? Prakasham and enlightenment is, knowledge and enlightenment is Satvagunam. So that will, because Satvagunam permeates in all the senses, mind, intelligence, body, and in every level there is Satvagunam. Sorry, Satvagunam. And therefore he does not have there is no darkness inside. That's what is indicating. You know, like the water filter, when the filter runs out, you know the dark thing goes away and you start seeing clearer inside. Similarly, Satvagunam is like that. It gets clearer inside, everything. So, so in darkness, you can't see anything properly, isn't it? Similarly, even if you think a lot about various things, you won't come to a right conclusion. You won't get an answer. We think that suppose I have thought about it a lot, you will get the answer. And that's how I got this answer. You think like that about life, isn't it? When problems come in life, we think about it a lot. And we say that, oh, I have thought about it a lot and I made this decision. But that need not be correct. Because if there is no Satvagunam inside, suppose a person has a lot of Rajogunam and Tamogunam inside, your decision will be influenced by that, even if you have spent hours and hours thinking about it. This is why sometimes you think you have thought about something a lot, and then you made some decision, but when the results came, it didn't work out. Why? Because the lower gunam were influencing there. Whereas in the modern world, they don't say like that. They think you should think about it well, isn't it? They say you sleep on it. They say like that, don't they? Or people always say you must, and they also believe that they can discuss together and make a decision and it will come out right. That's what they feel. All these big assemblies and big organizations, they think that they will put some experts in the field. Experts will go there, they will analyze there, and they'll come back and make some decisions. Based on their expert's advice, whole decision goes along with that. And then the result is disaster. Why? This is the reason. That if Satvagunam is not there, the decision, whatever you make, will be affected by Rajogunam and Tamogunam, and therefore the end result also will be a disaster. Will be a disaster. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, if you don't have that Satvagunam inside, you can't even relish anything properly, and you won't be able to live happily in this world. Always you will be in a disturbed state in life. These are all problems of the mind or problems of the gunam, gunabhava, inside. So, in this world, Krishna is saying here, nothing can happen. That is Krishna's point. Nothing can happen in this world. And always, worrying about it, that something is going to happen if I don't take care of this, if I don't take care of that. And always feeling like that, oh, it has become like this, what will happen tomorrow, what can happen day after. And here what Krishna is talking about, not about the jiva, about the body. And it is based on that body you are actually worrying in life, isn't it? Based on the body. But at no time, nobody has become the body. You have never become the body. Never before. Even now, you are not the body. And you will never become the body. You have never been the body. You are not body now. And you will never become the body. And then you are worrying about that body. So whatever happens there to that body, or any kind of problems when it happens in the body, Krishna is saying, why lament about it? Why worry about that? Because body is a after effect of karma. After effect of karma. In other words, it's an instrument or a tool which is only for the sake of experiencing the results of your karma from the past. It's a tool given to us to experience the results of past activities. It's the results of past activities. And whatever experiences are coming in this body, or changes that's happening in the body, is not affecting the living entity. Atma is not affected. Only because I have this ego inside me, that I am this body, that is the reason why it's affecting me. Why the body is affecting me? Because my ego is identifying with this body. And in this life, and probably in many lifetimes in the future, there is a lot of prarabdham to get exhausted. And suppose all that prarabdham is finished. Imagine that it's all over. Even then, you don't have to feel lament about that, because it is not affecting me. So even when the prarabdham is going through this body, you don't have to feel concerned about that. It is separated from you. It has no deity with that. So only what is required is, you have to learn how to stay away from that. How to stay away from that. And for that, what is required, Krishna is saying, to keep that satunam inside the mind and keep it peaceful. And under no circumstances, the mind should get agitated. Mind should get agitated and always able to remain in a peaceful state. And only for that reason, that all the time you are in a peaceful state, that in due course of time, Krishna says, that peaceful mind will keep even the body in a peaceful state. A peaceful mind will keep the body in a peaceful state, and no chances of getting sick either. If the mind is peaceful, or we know very well that the body has come from the mind, is it not? So if there is strong emotions builds up in the mind, fear, for example, fear, or anger, hate, envy, pride, all these kind of things, if they build up in the mind, it will have its effect on the body as well. Instead, if the mind is always shamam, dhamam, titiksha, all the brahminical qualities, devotee qualities, if they are always present inside, then body also, there is limited chance of getting affected by the mind. Mind's peacefulness in the mind will affect the body as well. So, generally Krishna says, that mind is always in the thoughtful mood. Always thought waves are coming. Very difficult to remain without thinking about anything. And all the things what we think about is generally the products outside or people outside. We think about others or we think about some product, isn't it? So, and all of them are gunamayam, full of modes of nature, imprisoned in them. And inside the mind, that gunabhavam will come, and already it will fill up inside the mind, which will make it more filled with gunam, with the modes of nature. And due to this nature of the power called thoughts, thought power, that gunam will keep increasing, will keep building up inside. Once this gunabhavam and the contact with the gunam has broken, then you have to have In order to have that to happen, you have to have a remembrance of something which is nirgunam, free from gunam. And in only one thing that is nirgunam in this creation is Krishna. Krishna is the only vastu which is nirgunam. So if you do not remember Krishna, how there will be shanti? That is the question. Yada jayel sattvatamam, yada jayel tamasattvam, rajasangam vidabhalam, tada dukkhena yujeda, karmana yashasa shriyaham. Then, yada jayel rajasattvam, tamo moodham layam jadam, yujeda shogamohabhyam, nidraya himsaya shayam. Yada jayel rajasattvam, tamo moodham layam jadam, yujeda shogamohabhyam, nidraya himsaya shayam. Next line, Krishna is saying, yada chittam prasideda indri aham, yada jayel rajasattvam, tamo moodham layam jadam. In the last words, when rajogunam dominates, what happens? Krishna said. Now in this verse, when tamogunam dominates and win over rajas and sattvam, sattvagunam, at that time what will happen to him? That person become always lamenting and always an illusion, thinking some strong illusion in his mind about life. He is living in a life of his own. In his own mind he has built up something and is living in a complete ignorance in that way. Ijyada shoga mahabhyam. What else? Nidraya himsaya ashraya. Nidra, that means he will like to sleep. Himsa, he'll be very violent towards others. Ashaya, and hundreds of desires builds up inside for no benefit at all to anybody. So when tamogunam is predominant inside, earlier he said vidabalam, that vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi is because of rajogunam. Vedabuddhi comes. Vedabuddhi is not a good thing. Remember in the last Sankhyam, at the end Krishna said that Dvaita Brahman has to go. Last words, when he concluded Sankhyam, he said that evam, 28th verse, last chapter. Evam anvikshamanasya katham vaikalpiko brahmam manasa hridi tishteda vyomni arkadeyo tama. So vaikalpiko brahmam, what is that? Vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi means, you know what that means, isn't it? Vedabuddhi means that you look at people, he is my friend, he is my enemy, he is a good man, he is not a good man, he is a devotee, he is not a devotee, he is a demon. This way looking at people in that way. And building up on that basis, ragadvesham towards them. Everywhere this goes on. Is it not? We start dividing people, good and bad. And we think we have to do that. Classifying people in different category, putting them in the different category. He is a pure devotee. He is useless. This way. And when people start doing that, you start wondering what's gone into their head. It often happens. That is called Vedabuddhi. And this Vedabuddhi is the last thing one should have. One should never have that Vedabuddhi. And that is why everywhere we classify people, isn't it? These are people who are favorable to me, so they are good. These people are not helping me, so they are all useless. In this way you start classifying people. Vedabuddhi it is called. So Krishna is saying here that Vedabuddhi is very dangerous thing. In the Sankhyam he spoke about that. And if Vedabuddhi is there, the mind will always be like this, wavering all the time. Dukkhena yujeda. Whatever happens here, that mind will be affected by that. Mind develops into what is called as mudhatvam. Mudha. Mind will become mudham. So, and because there is always rajogunam in him, that is why it happens. He will do a karmam also. Lot of action will come through him. And he wants to have name and fame, that is in him. And he wants opulences as well. These are all qualities of the rajogunam. But because there is a lot of opulence, and because there is a lot of fame in this world, and if you start, because of that, if you try to enjoy this world, because that is what it leads to. When you have a lot of opulences, and you have a lot of name and fame, then you want to enjoy the next thing, is it not? So Krishna is saying here, if you start doing that, the mind will lose its shanti inside. Shanti will go. And that is the problem with Rajogunam. Rajogunam, you will do a lot of work, and you have strong desires inside, and therefore you will work very hard, and create name and fame, create a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth, a lot of name and fame. And the next thing you want to do is to enjoy after that. And once you start enjoying, the mind will become very emotional, and it will become, it loses its peace. Shanti will go away. And and definitely, this Rajogunam is better than Tamogunam. Still, Rajogunam is better than Tamogunam. Because even though Rajogunam is giving all these troubles, he is working hard to get things what he wants. So therefore, for that purpose, because he has desires inside, to get things, he is willing to go out and work. And therefore, Rajogunam is better than Tamogunam, but even with Rajogunam, Shanti won't happen. That's the only thing. Rajogunam is definitely better than Tamogunam. Tamogunam is hopeless situation. Living or not living doesn't make any difference in Tamogunam. All the living entities in the lower planetary systems, you can see in the fifth canto, they just exist. There are some people like that, isn't it? They just exist in this world. You ask them, why, what is the purpose of life? Just live, get on with life, and they'll say. The attitude is like that. They don't bother at all whether anything happens in life. Life goes on, they say. It gets on with life. So, Krishna saying that, Rajogunam is better than that Tamogunam. At least he will have desires, and he will work for that. It is better. But, remember, even with Rajogunam, Shanti won't come. Shanti will only come in Sattvagunam. That's the important point. So, here, you can see here, in that verse, 15th verse, Yada jayel rajasattvam tamo moodham layam janam ujjira shokamahabhyam indraya himsa ashayam. When tamogunam win over sattvagunam and rajogunam, what is the nature of that? When do you know that tamogunam is dominating? Krishna says there, moodham layam jadam. Moodham layam jadam. Moodha means doesn't know anything, stupid. That's what it is. And no matter how many times he hears, you can see this, a person who has got a lot of tamogunam, even if you tell him about anything 10 times, then he will ask, what did you say? That's tamogunam. Suppose a person who has got a lot of tamogunam inside, even a 10 times, if you have repeated something to him, still he will ask later, what did you say? I didn't fully understand what he said. Tell me once again. They will say like that. So what it means is, that mind, because of tamogunam, has lost its capacity to absorb, and also lost its capacity to hold on to something what it has absorbed. See the mind? Mind lost its capacity to absorb, and whatever it has absorbed, it has lost its capacity to hold it. That mind. That is the symptom of tamogunam. Moodham, layam, jadam. That's what it is. Moodham means not able to catch things. Layam means it's not getting in. It's not able to relate with it. Jadam means, the what Krishna says here, that all the time, layasurubam. Layasurubam means layam. In a sort of a dull state. Sort of a dull state. Jadam. Jadam means never feeling happy any moment or any enthusiasm to do anything, all absent inside. If you ask him why you are like this, what's wrong with you, they'll say, no, nothing wrong. They'll say, nothing wrong. What is the result? He says, yujyate shoka mohabhyam nidraya himsa ashaya. Nidraya himsa ashaya. So all this is shogam, moham, nidra, himsa, asha. All these things will happen if tamogunam dominates in a person. So, out of that shogam means, if you ask him, what is disturbing you? He says, nothing. Then why you are so disturbed? He says, I don't know. Sometimes like that, isn't it? We all get it. It's not fault with anybody. What I'm saying is, this is how that gunam works. Sometimes you don't feel good. But if you try to find out what is actually causing this state, why you feel so unhappy and miserable, I don't know what it is. Overall, don't feel good. That is the gunam. Shogam. It's called the shogam. So, moham means misunderstanding about everything. Misunderstanding. Misunderstanding about yourself first. Thinking that I am the body. That's the first misunderstanding. Or I am the mind. Another. Or I am intelligence. Or I am the ego. All these are misunderstanding about ourselves. Then misunderstanding about others also. They are the body. And they are their mind. Things like that. Or in simple terms, not conscious of the proper awareness of others in the proper way. Nidra, easy, sleeping. Himsa, giving trouble to others, pain to others. Asha, always desires inside. He will think like this, oh, it will be nice if I had this, it will be nice if I had that, it will be nice if this has happened, everything is nice if this has happened in that way. But in order to get that, he won't do anything. He will just sit at home and imagining, it will be nice if all these things have happened, but won't do anything about it. That is tamogunam. Whereas rajogunam, he will get up and go out and do the thing, what is necessary to get what he wants. Work for it, isn't it? So, in other words, he builds all his castles in the air, sitting at home, and imagining so many things. Oh, I should be doing like this, I should be doing like that. All kinds of big planning going on. But won't do anything about it. So, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. All these three different modes, if they grow in a person, this will be the after effect. Some people who are very much infected with tamogunam, they will never start anything in their life. They won't do anything in their life. Why? Because they will say nothing will work. They have not done anything. And they are already saying nothing is working. So, due to fear that it will not come out nicely, the way they want it, they won't do anything because of that. Prarabdha vigna vigadaha. So, that is the nature of the tamoguni. They won't start do anything because they are always thinking that it won't work out. It will not come out. Madhyamam, that means who are in the rajasic states, there's a little difference. They will do everything. They will start everything in a big way. Everything in a big way. That is a rajasic nature. And when they start, and after a while, if a small problem comes, what will they do? They'll say, I can't do this anymore. They leave the whole thing and go away. This all you can see in this world of people like this. Rajasic nature. That means they will say, oh, there's too much problem. That is due to the jhonam. They will start in a big way. Any new business or any endeavor, any effort they have. Spiritual life also you will see. First day they will sit down and chant 16 rounds. Successfully in one lot. You'll observe this in some people, new bhaktas when they come. If you observe, you will see this. In the first few days or week, they'll be all enthusiastic to do everything, want to do all the service in the world to please Krishna. They want to please Krishna within a week. And they will do everything what they have to do. You tell them anything, they will do that. For a week it will last. After that, they will smell the politics of the place. And they will understand that they have to be calculative. And then they become diplomatic and become very, That means slowly they move from that Rajogunam to Tamogunam. In Rajogunam, everything is full of enthusiasm to do things, fully fired up, as they say, in that Rajogunam state. Wants to do everything immediately, no time to wait. Everything should be sorted straight away. Tamogunam, when it comes in, he says that that enthusiasm slowly fades away. Then he starts realizing that the spiritual life is not for a week. It's going to last for a long, long period of time than what I thought. So then the approach changes in him. Then sattugunam, when it is in a person, such a person who have that quality in them, they will never give up something once they have started. They will stick to it. And tamogunam, rajogunam, sattugunam, in this way also it happens. You can see a person's approach towards karma, how he does that. In tamogunam, he won't do anything. He won't start saying that it is impossible. It won't work. After all, it's very, very difficult, he will say. It's not possible. So they will give up. Everything, whatever you tell them, they say it's not possible. It's very difficult. There are some people like that in the government offices in India. Whatever you go to them and tell them, they will say to you, we don't get paid very well, they will say. And it cannot be done, they will say. That's why sometimes you go to the banks in India, it will take for hours to sort out. They already said it's not possible. They already concluded. Even before you tell what you want, they won't listen. They say, oh no, it's not possible. As soon as you see that face, your heart sinks. There's nothing you can do with them. Some people like that. So similarly, that is a tamogunam. Rajogunam is, you will see in some people, everything very enthusiastic, but only lasts for a very short period of time, for a few days or a week, and then the whole person has completely changed. After that, you don't even see him anymore. He's gone. There are some people who come like that to spiritual life. You will see them for the first week, Mangalarati, Guru Puja, all programs they will attend, classes, prasadam, clean the temple, do all the services. It will last for a week and then you don't see that person anymore. It's gone. So that is that rajogunam in the person. This is all due to the gunam inside. If sattugunam inside, he will think through things properly and he knows he will not give it up. He will stick to that understanding. There is stories to give and make us understand these things in Panchatantram and Hitopadesham, the famous storybooks. There's a lot of stories about that. One Brahmana, he received flour, rice flour or some flour, as his dakshina for some karmam he has performed for the one of the clients. And at that time, rice was in short supply and it was quite expensive. So he thought that with this what I have got, I'll go and sell this. And when I sell that, I'll get a lot of money from that. And then I'll buy a goat with that money. When I get that money, I'll go. And then when that goat, I'll get some milk. And then I'll buy a male and female goat, both. I'll have both of them. And when the female and male goat, in course of time, there'll be a lot of smaller ones will come from that goats as well. I will sell them. And then I'll buy a cow after that. Goat costs less than the cow. Then I'll buy a cow. And then I'll buy a bull after that. Like this it will keep increasing. Loads of cows, a lot of bulls in that way. And then I'll start buying horses after that. And then I'll buy an elephant afterwards. When I have made enough money after that. in the, all this is growing inside his mind. This is not much different than we are like. First I will buy a Micra or Hyundai, 1 liter car. Then I will buy, when I go up, I will buy 1.8 liter, then 2 liter, then 3 liter BMW, like that, desires builds up inside. So, when I get a lot of money like that, he says, I will build a nice house, and then I will get married, and I will have a very good wife, she will listen to me everything what I tell her, and in course of time, she will become pregnant, and we will have some very nice children, will be born from there, and I'll take that baby and I will look after that baby all the time. I'll be busy looking after that baby, and we will live like this happily. And when all this is going on, sometimes the baby will cry. The baby will cry. When she cries, I'll get angry, and when I get angry, I will fire my wife. I'll yell at her for being not looking after the child properly. And I'll tell her, she will tell me that if children will normally cry, that is usual thing, is it not? Why you get upset about it? She will talk to me like that. In that case, I'll give her a good smack on her for talking back to me in that way. And when he, thinking like this, he gave a good smack. And in that process, it hit that pot which had all the rice flour, and the whole thing got smashed everywhere, gone, like that. So, these are all Krishna is saying here, tamogunam, tamogunam's nature. This is a story in the Panchatantram, just to indicate to us how these modes works, how our, we build up desires inside, planning inside. Planning is big, desires is also big, but won't do anything for that. That tamoguna symptom of tamoguna. So, without doing anything, but keep saying, I'll do like this, I'll do like that in the future, I'll become this, I'll become the prime minister, I'll become the president, all these things. And we'll never think about that, whether he's qualified to have it or not, whether he's qualified for all those things. But somehow or the other, he will not think all this, but I'll become this, I'll become that. All the kind of castles in the air he will build. So this is all the nature of the, when tamogunam grows in a person, this is what will happen. If satogunam grows in a person, what will happen? The mind will be feeling a certain degree of shanti or peace inside, and therefore he will be in a peaceful state and happy also. And indriyanamcha nirvruti, Krishna says there, isn't it? See this, yada chittam prasideda, 16th verse. Yada chittam prasideda, indriyanamcha nirvruti, dehe abhayam mano asangam, tal sattvam vidhi malpadam. What will happen is, that when chittam prasideda, chittam is in happy state, shanti state, and indriyanamcha nirvruti, indriyanamcha nirvruti, Dehe abhayam. Dehe abhayam. Mano asangam. All these are qualities of satogunam. Dehe abhayam means he is not fearful about what's happening to the body. Freedom from the fear of what's going to happen to the body. Let the body, body will go one day, what's going to happen, why worry about it? That is that nature. Dehe abhayam. Mano asangam. Krishna says, mano asangam. Mano asangam means mind will not go and stick to anything in this world. Always detachment inside. Detachment from other things. Mano asangam. Mano asangam. Not sticking to anything. And mano asangam, or thinking like this, oh, it will be nice if I get that, a little bit of this. Or if I could have that a little bit, if I could experience this a little bit. In this way, no attachment to anything. Doesn't matter. So, if it is not there, it's not there. So, without the association of any sense object or another living entity, without their association, any contact with anybody, the mind, senses, and all other things. Krishna says, yada chittam prasideya indriyanamcha nirvruti,
దేహే అభయం మనో అసంగం
తల్ సత్వం విధి మల్పదం. Therefore, all the time, whose mind is in a free state, very free mind, that means not touched, not influenced by any gunam from outside. If you have attachment to another person or another object or anything like that, what does that indicate? It's indicating that there is sangam in there, isn't it? But here, mano asangam, Krishna says. No attachment anywhere. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there. All the time in a detached state. A detached state. Mano asangam. And always in a illuminated state. Full knowledge of the self. Always awareness. In other words, the thoughts that comes in is always in relationship with the self. Not in relationship with the body or the mind. Or the matter in the world. These are all very specific nature of a person who is in the Sattvagunam. If Sattvagunam builds up in a person, his nature will be like this. Not sticking to anything, not too much concerned about the bodily problems. Whatever that happens, it's happening in the body, not in me. That much separation from the body and the mind, inside. It's separated from there. And similarly, Krishna says there, that there will be Tattvavicharam. Tattvavicharam means able to reflect on Shastram and the Shastric injunctions and getting absorbed in that. All the time, when he is free also, his mind goes in that direction, towards knowledge of the self. These are all symptoms of Sattvagunam. Symptoms of Sattvagunam. So, and due to that, Tattvavicharam. Tattvavicharam means analyzing, based on the Shastram, analyzing life. That is Tattvavicharam. Analyzing life based on Shastram. Not based on our mind. Analyze based on the Shastram. And Tattvavicharam, and similarly, through Tattvavicharam, accepting that there is the Absolute Truth. Existence of the Absolute Truth. Coming to that conclusion. And when you consider that there is Absolute Truth existing, you feel like surrendering to Him inside. So always keeping that state of surrender inside, Sharanagati state inside. And the result of all that is Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. This will start growing inside and eventually there will be self-realization. Tattvanubhuti will happen to him. These are symptoms of a person in him. Sattvagunam is growing. This will happen. All very, very clear, is it not? How Sattvagunam acts, how Rajogunam acts, how Tamogunam acts. These three modes of nature has its own peculiar way of influencing us, how it controls us in our life. And that is what makes it interesting. So, once you are moved away from Rajogunam and Tamogunam, and if you are continuously allowing the Sattvagunam to grow inside, for him without any effort, his bhakti will develop. What kind of bhakti? Bhakti which is pure bhakti, without any expectation of result. Nishkama bhakti will grow inside without any effort. Without any effort. Because Vedantam says that if there is an object, it has a tendency to get attracted to something which has got a similar nature. It gets attracted to each other. Like we say that, isn't it? Suppose something has got, one person has got one nature, another person has got a similar nature, they'll get attracted to each other, to associate each other. Similarly, when Sattvagunam builds up, those nature what comes out in us is similar to Krishna's nature. And therefore, we'll get attracted to Krishna. When Sattvagunam builds up in a person, the nature of the person changes. Shanti and also knowledge, prakasham, enlightenment. All these are Sattvagunam associated things. When that grows in a person, attraction for Krishna naturally comes because Krishna is full of these qualities in him. So that is why and Krishna says here, except Krishna, there is no vastu in this world which is free from the modes of nature. Everything else is gunamayam. And naturally in the satugunam builds up in a person his attraction for those things which is full of modes of nature will go. Gunamayam, wherever there is gunamayam, that vastu, he will not get attracted to it. Because what is the reason for that? Inside that person, his own mind, there is no gunabhavam there. Suppose I have a lot of gunabhavam inside, then I will get attracted to other objects which also has got gunam. Three modes there. So, Krishna is nirgunam, and therefore you are attracted to Krishna in that way. And therefore, and that is why when sattugunam builds up, you become very, very serious in spiritual life and spiritual activities. Attraction to everything in relationship with spiritual life. Everything in relationship with spiritual life. That is the reason that when you become in sattugunam built up in a person, he wants to have all understanding about Krishna. Everything about Krishna he wants to know. He wants to have a deeper relationship with Krishna in a deeper level, not on a superficial level. In Rajogunam, because it's all based on desires, it will be very much on a superficial level. In Tamogunam, there will be no relationship at all. See how the modes of nature will vary? When it comes to Rajogunam, it will be totally on a superficial level, expecting from Krishna help for his happiness in this world. Whereas in Sattugunam, it is different. Krishna is saying here that when Sattugunam has built up in a person, yada chittam prasideda indriyanam cha naruvrati dehe abhayam mano asangam tal sattvam vidhi malpadam. He says, tal sattvam vidhi malpadam. That is what it is. Vidhi malpadam. Malpadam means, he wants to be with me. His attraction towards me gets very strong. He gets attracted to me, he says, due to increased sattvaguna. Increased sattvaguna. Yada chittam prasideda indriyanam cha nirugrati dehe abhayam mano asangam tal sattvam vidhi malpadam. In other words, Krishna says, chittam in shanti state, inside. Chittam is in shanti state. Senses are all free from sense gratification. No attraction for sense enjoyment. No fear of the problems in the body. Dehe abhayam. No, otherwise body is always a source of anxiety to everybody, isn't it? So that goes away. Body is not anymore a source of anxiety. Dehe abhayam. Mano asangam. Mind does not get attached to anything. If all this happens, sattvam builds up in that person because of that. That is the nature of that. Vidhi malpadam. He will come closer to me. He will get attracted to me because Krishna is in the satvagunam. Satvagunam's nature is like that. Then because of the increased satvagunam in the person, he gets attracted to Krishna. That's what he's saying here. Or, and that attraction is called bhakti. That attraction is called bhakti. And due to that, when that attraction gets stronger or bhakti gets built up strongly, vairagyam comes to him. Vairagyam comes to him. And afterwards, whatever he sees in this world, good or bad, it does not have any effect in him. Does not have any effect in him. And always he is in his world. He is not in this world anymore. He is living in his own world. And whatever he may see in this world, he won't remember about it. He won't, because he has no attraction for anything here. He won't get attracted, oh, we went to some place, some nice place, not attracted by anything, any place. Or any other person, no attraction for that. Because inside, the attraction for Krishna has come up very strongly. That is what the point is making. So he forgets this world, and with the result was that, he says here that he has forgotten his body as well. He forgets the world and then he forgets his body. And always he lives in this world in that state of consciousness. So, only point here is that if the sattugunam builds up in a person,
how quickly, how fast he will grow in spiritual life, Krishna says, it's impossible to say. It is so fast he grows spiritually. If satunam builds up in a person. Sometimes you can observe this in some people. At one time when you observe them, you see that they didn't have that enthusiasm. But due to some reason, sometimes spiritual life has affected them so strongly that they were willing to throw away everything and go in the spiritual path looking for perfection. And accordingly, there are some people, if you only observe them, you will notice that how attachment to the family has gone away, attachment to the society has gone away, attachment to all other happiness in this world has left them. All they are looking for is some prasadam when they are hungry to eat. All other inconveniences in this world they are willing to tolerate. And they will keep the association of somebody whom they have a lot of reverence and attachment, not in the spiritual sense. These things you will notice. Around Mahalpas you will see such people. Some Mahalpas, if you look, some very advanced people, their associates, if you observe, you will see this in them, in their associates. That they have managed to come out of the world, broken up connection with everything. It has all left them one after the other, due to the increased sattvagunam in them. That is what that verse is saying, 16th verse. Yada chittam prasideda, indriyanam cha nirvruti, dehe abhayam. Mano asangam tat sattvam vidhi malpadam. Then, vigurovan kriya chadir anivrtischa chedasan gatram aswasyam mano bhrantam rajameder nishamaya. Rajameder nishamaya. Vigurovan kriya chadir anivrtischa chedasan gatra aswasyam mano bhrantam rajameder nishamaya. So, instead of this sattvagunam, instead of sattvagunam, say rajogunam has increased in a person, then what will happen? If you observe him, you will see always he is disturbed. Always disturbed. At the same time, he will have a lot of enthusiasm to do things. He is disturbed. But he will be doing a lot in this world. And also you can notice, any karmam he has taken up, he won't complete it. I will do some 70-80% and then leave it. Now you do all that balance. I have done what I have to do. You do the rest of it. I left it to you for that to complete it. This is another nature of that rajogunam in a person. Or he will do half or leave half to somebody else. Or he will do like this way, that way. And he will run around in this direction, that direction. You will see, observe people like this all the time. That means there is no proper happiness inside. And because of that disturbed state, there is no proper decision making also. And mind is also in an unhappy state. No shanti inside. Or perfect, always disturbed. And not only that, mind is disturbed and the body is also disturbed. Body is also disturbed. Because all the time, in his mind, the thoughts about various sense objects and various work he has to do to fulfill his desires, this is influencing his thoughts very strongly inside. And it will be so full of thoughts, therefore there is no, what Krishna calls it as, swastyam, aswastyam, gatram aswastyam, mana grandam. Rajam eder nishanaya. Look at the words he has used. Vigurvan kriyaya chadhi. Vigurvan. Vigurvan means due to this vigaram, emotions that they built up inside. Buddhi is always vikshiptam, always many branched. Krishna says that, isn't it? What? Agaha kurinandana. Anandascha. That's what it is. Bahushaka. Anandascha, buddhayo, avyavasayana. Can't stick to anything. There will be hundreds of projects running at the same time in his life. Hundreds of projects will be running at the same time. And his senses of knowledge, they don't have the capacity to properly function. And body is in a disturbed state, aswastyam. Gatro aswastyam, Krishna says. Mano brandam. Mind is in a very brandy state, madness. And if all these things happen, Krishna says, you can say that he is filled with rajogunam at that point. If you ask him, he'll say, his body won't stay anywhere peacefully, running here, running there. Then when you ask him, oh, I can't walk, he says, and I can't sit, I can't walk. And he also said that the, I got pain here, I got pain there. All these things, you will constantly complaining about that. That means the gunabhavam of the mind is affecting his body as well. Because body is called manomayam. Manomayam it is, isn't it? Manobhrandam. So the way the mind, brahmam comes into the mind, like a mad person, what do you have to do? Where should I go? And all these questions will come up to a person when there is rajogunam strongly present in somebody. And the problem with rajogunam is, he will never be able to get the benefit of good things in life. Good things in life. But at the same time, he will do a lot of vyavaharam in this world. But he will never be able to enjoy life in a proper way. Enjoy life doesn't mean in through rajogunam enjoyment, in sattugunam. Sattugunam enjoying life means peacefulness inside, able to cultivate knowledge of the self, and progressing in the spiritual life. That is sattugunam. That is enjoyment in sattugunam. Enjoyment in rajogunam is, you can't enjoy anything because you are always disturbed inside. And then, because you are disturbed inside, you are working very hard all the time. That is also rajogunam. And because of working very hard and due to a lot of vyavaharam in that way, a lot of karma vasana builds up inside from that. This is all the after effect of rajogunam. See that difference? In sattugunam, there is shanti inside first. When there is shanti and there is higher knowledge, you will spend your time in such a way to develop on that side of spiritual life, and naturally attraction for spiritual life will come from that. It's the effect of that sattugunam. And because you are able to weigh up things properly, and you are able to see the higher purpose of spiritual life compared to all other material life in this world, you are able to weigh it up properly. And the result is that you will give priority to the spiritual benefit of life, utilizing the time for spiritual advancement. That decision making will be very quick inside, in a spirit, in a sattugunam, person in a sattugunam. And that person, because there is knowledge inside, shanti inside. There is shanti, peace inside. There is enlightenment inside. Therefore, all his life will be centered around developing closer relationship with Krishna. Bhakti, in other words. It will go in that way. Rajogunam person, because there is a lot of karma vasana inside, and because there is always disturbed mind and the body, even though it is disturbed, he will absorb in a lot of activities. Because he is absorbed in lot of activities, lot of karma vasana will be created by that. And the mind will get more and more disturbed. Practically, he cannot enjoy life in the proper way. All he goes through in this world is a lot of misery, a lot of hard work, and lot of opulences he may have, and then he leaves this world in distress. Leaves this world in distress. So, this is the effect of rajogunam. Then Krishna says, Siddhachittam vilieta chedaso grahane kshamam mano nashtam tamo glani tamastam ubhadaraya. Siddhachittam vilieta chedaso grahane kshamam mano nashtam tamo glani tamastam ubhadaraya. That is verse 18. When tamogunam becomes prominent in a person, what will happen? The first impact of tamogunam is, he will say, mind is completely finished. Mind has no strength inside. Mind cannot think anymore. Mind cannot make any decisions. Mind cannot act in any way. Always in a state of dull state. If you ask him, what's wrong with you? What, are you sick? He says, no, I'm not sick. But my body has no strength, he'll say. Very tired and always no energy. Always no energy. But if you look at him, nothing wrong. If you look at him, nothing wrong with him. What's the problem? Tamogunam has gone and filled inside. Filled inside. And most of the time, the mind will appear as though it is in a layam state. Layam means in a dissolved state. And if you ask something to them, when they won't reply to you straight away for some time. It will take time for them to reply something. If you ask some people something, they're like that. No answer will come. You have to wait for the answer to come. Then they'll say, what did you say? So that kind of mind. They're not receptive, and they'll say to you, what did you tell me? So when, because mind has lost that capacity to absorb. And not only that, mind lost its power of analyzing things and able to react. That is what Krishna is saying. Mano nashtam tamo glani. Tamo glani means, if you look at their face itself, there is a darkness in the face. Tamo glani. No smile. Always glani. Glani means a kind of depressed mood. Tamo glani and mano nashtam. Mano nashtam means mind cannot function anymore. They say like that. Darkness. And there is no happiness and there is no peace inside. Neither the mind. Mind is not in a happy state. The body is also in a sick state. So all these things will be in the tamogunam. But enthusiasm, ulsaham, and that, when you are feeling that enthusiasm to do things, the energetic nature, that is all will come when there is satugunam, satugunam inside. For a tamogunam, exactly opposite will come to him. And if you invite them to do something or come for something, they'll say, oh, I can't make it. They'll say like that. Then if you tell him, look, you're not that old, are you? He says, but I'm not that old, I agree. But what is the use? It is like this, that I can't make it. They will answer like that. Because my body is not allowing me to do that. At the same time, hundreds of thoughts will be coming inside. And he says, and all these desires are there, thoughts are there, but he won't do anything to get some of them. Because if you ask him, I can't do anything, I'm not able to do it. In this way, the answer will come from there. And then if you tell him, look, if you are not so well, why you are eating so much then? If you ask that question, no, that's not possible. They'll eat very well. They'll eat very well. And then after that, they'll go to sleep. In that field, no problem. As far as eating and sleeping is concerned. You eat very well, and you'll go to sleep well. Any other time if you ask him, he will say, I am not well. I can't do anything. This nature. This is all that tamoguni's characteristics. So, what hope has he got in life? Krishna is saying, what hope has he got? Sida chittam viliyeda. See that voice? Chedaso grahane akshamam. Mano nashtam. Tamo glani. Tamastav samastav ubhadaraya. He says. Mustam ubhadaraya. So, Krishna says here that yada sida chittam chedasaha grahane akshamam sad viliyeda. Manaha nashtam. Tamaha glani cha bhavadi. Tada tamaha udritam ubhadaraya. He says that as far as he is, Krishna is concerned, his living in this world is worthless. No use. Samastho Bhadaraya says, it's pointless whether he exists or don't exist. So only waste of time. Waste of space, we say. Isn't it? It's waste of space. Yeah. There's a lot like that. Waste of space. In this world, then see that. And he says, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the word, moham parthasa jivati. I think it is in the moham parthasa jivati. Can't remember which chapter it is in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna uses that word. Moham parthasa jivati. He is living in this world for what? Don't know. Moham parthasa jivati. He is living but not worthwhile living. Although he has born as a human body, at the same time, you can say that he is a human, he has got a human body, but he has no connection with that human life. He is not existing in the human nature. That's what it is saying there. Then, edamane gune sattve devanam bhalamedade asuranam charajasi tamasi uddhava rakshasam edamane gune sattve devanam balamedhate asuranam charajasi tamasi uddhava rakshasam. What will happen if you allow these modes to build up strongly? What will happen? Krishna says like that. If you allow sattvagunam build up inside a lot, if that builds up in a person in a high degree, it is then that the qualities of demigods will come to you. Will come to you. See that? Edamane gune sattve devanam balam edhate. Demigods' qualities will start coming to us. Which means that the senses acquiring knowledge acquiring senses. What are the knowledge acquiring senses? The eye, ear, taste, smell, touch, all these are knowledge acquiring senses. These knowledge acquiring senses are controlled by their predominating deities as well. Those deities will become powerful in your body. That means those senses will become very alert. There will be light. Light means there will be, those senses will always be very vibrant. They will do their job well. All the knowledge acquiring senses. So, when the sattvagunam increases in a person, the senses, knowledge acquiring senses becomes powerful, and the result of that, if you look at that person, edamani gune sattve devanam balamedate, overall in his appearance, you will find a kind of purity in his behavior, in his dealings in this world, and in his life in this world, you will find something pure happening. That presence of sattvagunam in him, all the time. And he will always be in a peaceful state, and happy state, not complaining about anything, satisfied with everything in this life. He will speak nice words, speak properly, and if you hear something from that person, it will make you also happy. These are all that sattvagunam's nature. His features, like the way he looks, the way he walks, the way he speaks, everything like a demigod. Everything like a demigod due to abundance of sattvagunam in a person. Krishna is saying there, devanam balamedhate. Devanam balamedhate means all the demigod qualities will come to him in his life here. Then, asuranam cha rajasi. When rajogunam grows heavily in a person, he'll be like a asura, demon. And tamasi uddhava rakshasam. If tamogunam increases in a person, he'll be like a rakshasa. He'll be like a rakshasa. Like, you can see, when tamogunam builds up, that's when people become like rakshasas. Rakshasas are those who stay awake in the night. whole night they come into life, that Rakshasa nature. In the daytime, if you look at them, they'll appear as though they are in a very dull mood. They'll sit quietly at home or do a little bit this and that and pass the time like that. As soon as about 9, 10 o'clock at the night, they come to life. And then they are busy, wandering around, doing various things. Go here, go there, till about 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then come home, and then go to sleep for the rest of the day. That rakshasic nature, tamogunam, how it has built up inside. So which gunam is building up in each one of us, we can understand that with our own activities and our own experiences in life. Each one of us can look into our own life and see what gunam is dominating us every moment. Therefore, Krishna says, somehow or the other, we should always try to build up satugunam inside. Because only if satugunam grows inside, life will have some meaning. Life will have some benefit from this life, and something auspicious will come out of this life. Only if the satugunam builds up. Rajogunam and tamogunam, you won't get it. You won't get it. So, these things has to happen through effort also. Through effort also. So, if you ask, what should I do now? Suppose I have tamogunam in me a lot. What do I have to do for that, to get rid of that? If I think about that, I can't do anything. Krishna has to do something about it. So, you have to ask this question, has Krishna created this tamogunam in you? No. Due to the karma phalam of the previous lifetime, whatever I have done, that karma vasana has come out in the form of tamogunam now in me. I have to blame that. I can't blame Krishna for that. In previous lifetime, I must have done certain activities which purva karma phalam, that is what has come now in the form of this tamogunam. Is it not? So therefore, if you do good things now, start doing good things now, in due course of time, that tamogunam will go and satugunam will come in. Now I am having some, people ask this question, why do I have so much tamogunam? Reason for that is, in previous lifetime, you have done certain things which has come in the form of this tamogunam as an after effect of that. Purva karma phalam, that is. That is why Krishna is not involving in all these things. He is not interfering at all. Our karma phalam is coming and coming to us in the form of tamogunam. So, if purva karma phalam, previous actions in the previous life, actions in previous life, if that is the cause of today's experience of tamogunam, if we start doing things which are in the satugunam, in due course of time, that tamogunam will go and satugunam will take over. That's understandable, is it not? So, therefore, to do things now which is filled with satugunam, sattu-sambandham, that means sattu-satyavati, if you engage in that, even if you don't have interest in that, if you start doing that and encourage the mind to get absorbed in that and may allow the satugunam to grow somehow or the other through salsangam, through japam, through dhyanam, through bhajana or kirtanam, whichever way it is possible, and reading books related to satugunam and not to read other books which are not helpful in developing satugunam, to avoid them. Read those books which are favorable for developing satugunam. Similarly, going to the temples, seeing the deity, paying your obeisances to the deity, participating in bhajan or kirtanam, in that way, chanting the holy name, all these things are developing satugunam in a person. And if satugunam builds up like this, in due course of time, that tamogunam will go and it will become the way of life. So, so if you feel now, oh, I can't do all that thing, everything I am finding very, very difficult, that is because of the negative nature of the mind. Mind is very negative. So you can see this. Say, for example, without worrying about the world a lot, say if you are determined for a month to chant the holy name, sit for a couple of hours every morning, at least for an hour, and chant the holy name without worrying about the world, let the world go whatever way it goes. And you will see the result after a month, how it changes our nature, the impact of the Satunam, you will notice it straight away. It's impossible to reject it. Because you are not taking notice of it. Because you didn't read Bhagavatam. And therefore you didn't take notice of it. For a month you chanted and then you felt some benefit. Benefit in the sense that Satunam started working inside. But then you have given it up and started going up something else. So that's why Krishna says here that if you have the proper association with pure, with first-class devotees, and if you are living their association, definitely you will have this satugunam. If you are living with people who have that satugunam in them, and then naturally your habits also will change, and satugunam will build up inside. When they are doing things, you will also be inspired to do the same thing. To do the same thing. So, and that inspiration will come from inside. In fact, in this world, who does the maximum work? Who does the maximum work? Although we say, those who have got Rajogunam, they are the ones who does the maximum work. Isn't it? All the time they are busy with the karma. So generally we say that people who have Rajogunam, they do the maximum work. But that is not correct. The people whose work benefits this world maximum is the work done by those who are in the mode of goodness. You can see that, is it not? So many, you can observe so many people, you will notice this. People in Rajogunam does the more work than anybody else. They do more work. But that work which is beneficial to the world is done by those who are in the Sattugunam and not Rajogunam. The one work, although they are doing a lot of work, Rajogunis, they do a lot of work in this world, but their work is always create more trouble in this world, problem in this world. So therefore, but generally we don't look at like that, do we? We say, oh, he's very hardworking, we say. Some bosses are like that. They'll work 22 hours a day. And they will expect everybody else to be like them. Drive you mad. He will be the star in the company. Because he spends 22 hours in the office. All other people in the office will say, see, he's always there. When you go in the morning, he's already there in the office. When you leave the office, he is still working there. And you think that, oh, he has given his life for the company, the management says. Management says they want such donkeys there. So that's what it is. But all his work, if you look at, you will see that all he has created done so much harm to this world, whether it is politicians or businessmen or factory worker, doesn't matter. Everywhere, whatever karmam he has done a lot of karmam. But the after effect of that karmam in relationship with the world is a disaster. You can see many of these big political leaders. They're flying here, flying there. They get to the place in the middle of the night and they've got morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. They have a meeting and they have no time. And they're having their sandwich while having their meeting because they have no time to eat. Very, very, very busy making decisions. Jumping into the plane and flying here, flying there, meeting up this, meeting up that. All these kind of things, this is all Rajogunam. That won't bring any solution to the problem. Solution to the problem will come from someone who is working in Sattugunam. He has the answer for the problem. This Rajoguni has no answer to the problem. All he does is, he goes here, he goes there, makes a lot of meetings, and then speculate after that. Everything will be alright after that meeting, he says. And then they will issue a statement. By the time he comes back, the war starts there. More firing goes on. You can observe this if you look at these leaders who are running around to bring peace, whether it is in Ukraine or whether it's in Palestine, everywhere. Just read the newspaper or see the reports, what goes on there. Everybody is running around to bring peace. There's no peace coming anywhere. Why is that? Because this Rajoguni cannot bring peace. They're all working very hard, but peace won't come. Always remember this, that the person who does the maximum work in this world, beneficial to the world, is the one who is in Sattugunam.
not in the rajogunam or tamogunam. So, because he has got knowledge, jnana sambhati, and because he has bhakti inside towards Krishna, therefore, what he does will come out properly. And they don't get tired, they don't get exhausted, and they don't have any problem with their body either. And they are willing to sacrifice their life for that purpose. And if they have to go through some struggle, they are willing to do that as well. And they will be able to execute their part of the work in a peaceful state. And only those who have satugunam can do that. Only those who have got satugunam can do that. If rajogunam comes, can they not do that? Yes, they will do that. But only they will do what suits them and what benefits them. In all these big problems when they have, you will notice that those who are getting involved in that, they are first looking after their interest. Are they not? Whether it's America or Russia or China or India, whatever, it doesn't matter. Wherever it is, when there is a crisis in the world, they will look at it, what is benefit for them first. And that is due to the rajogunam. Not that they love the whole humanity in this world. They are concerned about their own interest. Because if they win something, then the next election they will get elected. So always this is the way of thinking of the rajogunam. So therefore, loka sangraha. Krishna uses the word loka sangraha. Loka sangraha means one who has that vision for the whole world to be benefited, to work like that. That's only possible when there is somebody in the satugunam. Only in a satugunam one can do that. You can see, for example, how there are many, many householders in this world, isn't it? Many, many householders in this world. In Karnataka, there is a place called Dharmasthala. If you go there, these are householders there. But that family, for how many generations they have been doing what they are doing? They have, in such a facility there, they will feed the whole people in that town, in that place, Dharmasthala. Everyone is allowed to come and have their food, prasadam, in their home, in their home. And when you go there, you will see the family members full of enthusiasm, running around everywhere, making sure that everybody is fed, whoever has come, and receiving the guests who have come to have food in an appropriate way, how they welcome you with an open mind, and make sure that you leave them satisfied. And that's been going on for so many years in Dharmasthala, if you can still see there. So, and they don't want any propaganda or name or fame from that. Many times, television companies and newspaper people went up to them to write something about them. They said, no, we don't want all that. And the television company didn't allow them to make any movie out of them. But that service, what they have been doing like this, and they said to the newspaper people, never write anything about us, but if you want to have prasadam, you can have prasadam, but don't write anything about us, he said. And if you want, they have houses even also, their family, they have built up like that. No problem at all, because seeing this, so many people finance them in their effort, seeing their truthfulness in them and in their actions. So, last 4 or 5 generations, this has been going on like that. As long as around 12 o'clock in the middle of the day, if you go there, you will see that 1 or 2 people come and make the announcement that Prasadam Hall is open now. Anybody can come and have the Prasadam. So, and this will go on all the way right up to 4 o'clock in the whole afternoon. And everyone, whoever comes there, you can notice that the members of that family, and they've got so many people in that family, they will all come and speak to you in a very pleasing way, inviting you and welcoming you and thanking you for coming and taking prasadam there. That's how they relate to the people. So, that respectful to others. And suppose if you have to be like this throughout the whole life, to be like this, it requires a certain goodness inside. Otherwise, it's not possible to do that. So, and if you ask how do they manage all these things, they also don't know. Money keep coming.
from different sources. It keeps coming. All this is, Krishna is saying that when the Satugunam builds up inside, it changes a person in this way. Everything becomes like that. So, therefore, Krishna is pointing out here again that try to increase the Satugunam. Only in Satugunam a person will get better. And he will go up in his life. Remember, in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna said, Urdvam gachandi sattvastha, madhye tishtandi rajasa, jakhanya gunavruttistho, atho gachandi tamasa. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? Urdvam gachandi sattvastha. One who is in sattvagunam goes up. Madhye tishtandi rajasa. Rajasic person will stay here. He won't go up. He will stay here. Leave this body, come back here again. Jaghanya gunavurtishto adho gachandi tamasa. If tamogunam builds up inside, tamogunam builds up inside, it goes down. Krishna says. Similarly, you can also see what Krishna says next verse. It's important. Sattval jagaranam vidyal rajasa sopta madishel praswabam tamasa jando turiyam trishu sandadam. Sattval jagaranam vidyal rajasa sopta madishel praswabam tamasa jando turiyam trishu sandadam. Sattvagunam keeps a person in vacant state. Vacant state doesn't mean that you are just keeping your eyes open. That's not vacant state. Vacant state means that able to capture spiritual understanding of life without difficulty. That is vacant state. Vacant state means always in an alert state and getting attracted by spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization and knowledge of the self building up inside. Able to capture that. Say like Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam, Ramayanam. All these great literature carry the message of the soul, isn't it? They all carry the message of the soul, not the message of the body. So, when we read them, when we study them, able to capture the essence from those literature and absorb that, that is vacant state. Vacant state means that not that my eyes are open now, so I must be vacant state. Eyes are closed, I am asleep. That's not how it is. Vacant state means this state, Krishna is saying here, sattvagunam, sattvagunam, when sattvagunam expands in a person, vacant state. When rajogunam, sattvagunam goes down, rajogunam expands in a person, dream state. And when sattvagunam and rajogunam goes away, tamogunam expands in a person, deep sleep state. Deep sleep state. So, here, sattvagunam, suppose a person has become more awareness in Krishna consciousness, or awareness gains, builds up inside. What does that mean? It means that sattvagunam is growing. Suppose I am becoming always in a dreaming state. What does that mean? My rajogunam has expanded in me. Equally, all the time if I am in deep sleep state, what does that mean? Tamogunam has expanded. Tamogunam has expanded. So, so that is the reason. Those who are highly developed in the sattvagunam, they will require only very little sleep. They won't require a lot of sleep. Lot of sleep. And similarly, rajoguna pradhani, those in whom rajogunam has expanded a lot, in them, they will dream a lot. They will have a lot of dream. Who? Rajoguna Pradhani. And for Tamogunam, one who has got a lot of that, he will have a lot of Sushupti, deep sleep state. So, good to look at ourselves, isn't it? What do we have? Suppose you have not getting a lot of sleep, you don't need to sleep a lot, because that's due to the sattvagunam. Rajogunam is always puts you in a dreaming state. Always in a dreaming state. And deep sleep state is indication of the built up tamogunam inside. Tamogunam inside. So, these three modes of nature, rajogunam, satogunam and tamogunam, they keep expanding, contracting in us all the time. So, in the vacant state, it has expanded and then contracted, and then rajogunam comes and expanded. And that's when dream comes. And then it has contracted, and then deep sleep, tamogunam came, that means deep sleep came and expanded, and then it has contracted. So, like this, satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they keep coming and going all the time in the form of vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. Throughout the day. Satugunam comes, we come to vacant state. Then rajogunam, vacant state, it contracts. Satugunam contracts. Then rajogunam comes, we go into dream state. Then it contracts, and then tamogunam comes, we go into deep sleep. Then it contracts, and then satugunam comes again, we wake up. This is life. This is our life here. So, these three gunam, they appear and disappear regularly. So, where does these three things happen? That's the point Krishna is going to say. These three states, appearing, disappearing, the three gunam, appears and disappears, all the time, constantly, one after the other. That's all life is, isn't it? Whole life is nothing but this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. That is the whole life. Now we are Jagrat, then comes Swapnam, then comes Sushupti, and then back to Jagrat again. So, the appearance and disappearance of these three modes of nature, where is this happening? That's the question. And where does this appears and disappears? That is soul. That is the soul. And that vastu, that soul, Atma, in other words, he is present in all the three states. He is not affected. And that awareness, which is present in the vacant state, in the dream state and in the deep sleep, he remains as he is. He is not touched by these three. These three touches whom? It touches our body, mind, intelligence and ego. And possibly the senses also. No other thing is touched by these three states. In all these three states, when they come and go, Atma behind that is untouched and remains as a witness to all the three states which comes and goes. He is only a witness to that. So, so normally you can see here that normally a person, either he is in the vacant state or in the dream state or in the deep sleep state. In one of these three, isn't it? So, and we are conscious of that, these three states coming and going. We are constantly aware of that. Vacant state comes and goes away, dream state comes and goes away, deep sleep state comes and goes away. So, in order that these three states to come, and in order that these three states to come and disappear, there must be a fourth thing on which these three states must be depending upon. A fourth thing has to be there, is it not? Suppose these three states are happening in us. You can observe this. Vacant state comes, goes away. Dream state comes, goes away. Deep sleep state comes and goes away. And then again, vacant state comes, goes away. Dream state comes, goes away. Deep sleep state comes, goes away. So all the time, what is happening in life? What is life in this world? These three states are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And that is what we call as life. Our existence here. Is it not? So, in order that these three states are happening, there must be something behind in whom all these things are happening. It cannot happen otherwise. There must be an adhishtanam for that. Adhishtanam is necessary. And that vastu, and because these three states can only stay if that fourth thing is there. Otherwise it cannot happen. And that fourth vastu has to be a witness to all the three states, because he is the one who is present all the time. If you have not understood this point, think about it, you will get it. It's just a question of understanding that in order that the three states has to happen, there must be a fourth thing behind it who is supporting these three states. And if he is not supporting, how can they come and go? They are coming and going all the time, one after the other, whole life. So, Shastram is telling us that when they are coming and going like this, behind those three, there must be a fourth one who is supporting as the what is known as Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam for all these three, and he cannot be subjected to any change because he is supporting these three. These three are experiencing changes, but that one which is supporting these three cannot go through any changes. Kshaya Vriddhi cannot happen there, and all the time he must be present in all the three states. So, when these three states are coming and going, continuously that force or that power who is present all the time and who has spread in all the time, but at the same time never touched by any of those three states, that is called Atma or the soul. So, when these three states goes away, he still remains. And that is called the fourth state, or what is called Turiya. Remember, Krishna says that. Satwal jagaranam vidyam rajasa sapnama dishel prasvavam tamasa jando turiyam trishu sandadam. Very important words. Satwal jagaranam vidyam rajasa sapnama dishel prasvavam tamasa jando turiyam trishu sandadam. Turiyam trishu sandadam. So, after understanding this, that jagal, if we say about life so many things, thinking that I've got this project, that project and all, Krishna is saying, your life is nothing but a series of jagrat, sapnam, sushupti. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. Yes, in reality that is the truth, is it not? But after coming here, we have manufactured our own plans and our own ideas about life, our own conceptions and our own happiness differently. That is another thing. That has nothing to do with the truth. Truth is what Krishna is saying. He is saying to us, what's your life here? A series of jagrat sapnam sushupti. Nothing but here, else. That's what he is saying here. Satwal jagaranam vidyam rajasa sapnam adishel prasvabam tamaso jando. That's all it is. Three things, three states and three effect of that. Turiyam trishusam dadam. Turiyam state is beyond these three. When you have come out of jagrat sapnam sushupti, Krishna is saying you are in the turiyam state. That's all it is. And that is all what Krishna is expecting from us. Nothing more. Going out of these three states, jagrat sapnam sushupti. Because jagrat is the satugunam and rajasa is the dream state. And tamogunam is the deep sleep. Once you cross over all these three states, Krishna says that you have escaped from these problems here. So, and that is a turiya state. So, this state has to come eventually. But in order that to happen, first satugunam has to come. Suppose satugunam, one person, suppose he has no satugunam. Instead, he has got rajogunam and tamogunam in him. That person can never have turiyam state. Turiyam state is not possible. Because it is these three modes of nature which is actually covering Atma. Covering the Atma. Atma, you know what it means. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is Atma. Eternal, pure, fully liberated, fully conscious. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Muktam. Muktam means fully liberated. Buddham means fully conscious. Shuddham means pure. And Nityam means eternal. All these are qualities of the soul. So, that is Atma's nature. And then Atma is covered by these three states. Which one?
Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, which means Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And this can be understood. It is not very difficult, isn't it? Once we develop a little Satogunam, you will understand this, what Krishna is saying here. You can understand this from this, that through the appearance and disappearance of these three gunam, Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, what they call it as Sankocha Vikasam. Sankocha Vikasam means their appearance and disappearance, or their presence, then contraction and their expansion. Expansion and contraction. Expansion and contraction. That is what is called Sankocha Vikasam. Expansion and contraction. So when these modes of nature have their expansion and contraction going on, accordingly, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti keeps coming and going. When Satogunam expands, vacant state comes. When it contracts, dream state comes. When Rajogunam expands, dream state expands. When Rajogunam goes away, it contracts. When Tamogunam comes, deep sleep comes in and expands, deep sleep. And when Tamogunam goes away, deep sleep goes away. And we come back to, again, Satogunam. And Satogunam makes us expand again, vacant state comes. This is the sequence, isn't it? So, from here you can observe one thing. Atma, who is present behind all these things, and when these three states are coming and going, it is him, it is in his presence only, this expansion and contraction of the three modes can happen. Only in his presence can happen. And sometimes, either Jagrat state or Sushupti state or deep sleep state, absence of these three states, there is no time like that in our life. We will be always in one of these three. There is no time in life when one of these states has not present in us. Is not present in us. So from birth right up to the death, we live in these three states. In these three states. And as much as whichever these states expands and contracts in us, that Atma behind it, soul who is present behind it, completely unaffected by that, he goes on in this world. And his awareness or consciousness, is unaffected by any of the effect of vacant state, dream state or deep sleep. And that thing which is behind, which is untouched by vacant state, dream state or deep sleep, he, as far as he is concerned, he at no time is influenced by Satogunam, Rajogunam or Tamogunam. And therefore, because he is not affected, touched by Satogunam, Rajogunam or Tamogunam, his qualities of Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam is never affected. Because he is not touched by the three modes of nature. And he is always in the blissful state. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. But he is covered for us, is covered because of the presence of the three states. He is not affected by that, but he is covered by that. So you can see this in the vacant state. A lot of thoughts comes in. We think that I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to go here, I have to go there. And this is all Jagrat, our ideas about Jagrat state. In Swapnam or in the dream state, another way, lot of thoughts comes in and it takes us into another world altogether in the dream state. And Sushupti, you can see again, it's a different experience. All three are different, is it not? Vacant state, always thoughts in mind and want to engage in karma in the vacant state. In the dream state, karma stops. But inside, we live in another world.
world of thoughts, we go into that. And in the deep sleep state, we close down the whole business and goes and sleep somewhere. So this avastavritti, jagrat svapnam sushupti is called avastha. This avastavritti in all the three states covers the soul in three different ways. In jagrat state, it covers through our thought waves and karma and things like that. In the dream state, it covers the atma through the dream and the actions in the dream, activities of the dream. And in the deep sleep, it covers, put the whole shutter down, tamogunam, and it covers, it covers. So, and when these three states shuts down completely, that is called the nature of Atma. That is when Nityashuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam of Atma comes. Atma comes. In other words, that is the point Krishna says there, that the state of what is known as Turiyam comes. And that is what is called the Samadhi state. Called Samadhi state. So, that is what 20th verse is saying. Satwal Jagaranam Vidya Rajasa Swapnam Adishet Praswabam Tamasa Jandu Turiyam Trishu Sandadam. Turiyam Trishu Sandadam. So, important point there is, he wants to say to us, your awakened state, dream state, deep sleep also, state also, is the after effect of the three modes of material nature. After saying that, in the next verse, 21st verse, Krishna is saying that if the gunam builds up in a person, ulkarsha, if he goes up in this gunam, then you will see his karmam, how it changes. How his karmam changes. That is the next verse. Suppose if his gunam has improved, instead of tamogunam and rajogunam, suppose satogunam has built up inside, how it, what effect, after effect of that on his karma? That's the next verse. Uparivari gacchandi satvena brahmana janaha tamasadhoda amokhya rajasa andarajarinaha Uparivari gacchandi satvena brahmana janaha tamasadhoda amokhya rajasa andarajarinam. Krishna says, Ubari gacchandi satvena brahmana janaha. Brahmana who has the sattugunam in him, the chances he will go up further and further. If this you can observe this in the brahmana. In a brahmana, nature is such that because he knows higher goal in life, first thing, he has a higher goal in life. Therefore, there is no attraction in this world because the goal is much higher than anything in this world. Krishna also confirms that Brahmana, I have given him Brahmanasihi Dehoyam Shudragamaya Neshyade. He says in the 11th canto. It has not been given to him for cheap sense gratification, he says. Krishna says. His body has been given to him for self-realization, for a higher purpose. Accordingly, that body has been created. So, Ubari Gachandi, he will always be going up. There is no chance of him coming down. Gachandi Brahmana Janaha. Here, when the word, Krishna uses the word Brahmana, means don't go by birth. The one who has seriousness in spiritual life, or jnani, or one who is after self-realization. That's what he's referring to. Tamasadhoda Mahamugyam Rajasa Andharacharyana. And he says here, due to tamogunam, what will happen? He will definitely, if the tamogunam keep building up in a person, the next destination for him is lower species. Lower species. Tamasa athotha mamukhyam. Lower species means plants, trees, creepers, animals, all that is lower species. And rajasa andharacharyana. Rajasa andharacharyana means with that rajogunam, if it gets stronger in him, he will get a human body again. Because he can work more than, isn't it? What he could not complete in this life, he can complete in the next life. That is what rajogunam does. So, it's almost 10 o'clock. We'll have a prayer.
Pamaha davagni nirvavanam kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavatu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pratipada
പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസവനം വരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാനാമകാര്യ ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർവൈവമേ ദൃശ്യാചരി അനുരാഗാ രവീഷുലീചേന തരോരവീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാ മാനരേണ കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരിണി നഥനം നജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാ ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഹിത്വേ അയി നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാ മാമുഷമേ ഭവാമുദോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതദൂലി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാ നയനം ഗളദശ്രുധാരയാം വദനം ഗംഗതയുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുലകർജിതം തഥാവഭോക്തവന്മാഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗാരിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗത് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദഗ്രഹേ നമേ ശ്ലിഷ്യവാ പാദരതാം ഭിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാ വിലംബനോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നേവനാഹര. ഉപര്യുപരി ഗച്ഛന്തി സത്വേനാ ബ്രാഹ്മണാ ജനാഃ തമസാ ധൂതമാ മോഖ്യാ രജസാ അന്തരചാരിണാം. സോ വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഉപരി ഉപരി ഗച്ഛന്തി സത്വേന ബ്രാഹ്മണാ ജനാഃ, നൗ വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇസ് ബ്രാഹ്മണ ഡസ് നോട്ട് മീൻ ദോസ് ഹു ആർ ബോർൺ ഇൻ ദി ബ്രാഹ്മണ ഫാമിലി. ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് നോട്ട് വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഹിയർ. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് that there are people who are born in the brahmana family, some of them may come to that. That means why Krishna uses the word brahmana, because generally people who live their life based on the Vedic injunctions, it is from that context Krishna has spoken that, that vedokta karmam, in other words vaidika dharmam, that means for example japam, chanting the holy name, കീർത്തനം, പൂജ, ഡേറ്റി വർഷിപ്പ്, പേയിങ് ഒബൈസാൻസസ്, നമസ്കാരം, യജ്ഞം, സാക്രിഫൈസസ്, സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ദ വേദം, വേദ അധ്വയനം, തത്വവിചാരം, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് അബ്സോർബ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഡിസ്കഷൻ അബൌട്ട് ദി ട്രൂത്ത്, ആൻഡ് യമം, നിയമം, ശമം, ദമം, ഓൾ ദ ക്വാളിഫിക്കേഷൻസ് ഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ഇൻ ദ പേഴ്സൺസ് ഹു ഹാവ് ദം. ആൻഡ് ബ്രാഹ്മണ ഹു ആർ എൻഗേജ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദ വൈദിക ധർമ്മം, that's all vaidika dharma, all these things, and that is, it is in that context Krishna has spoken here as brahmana janah. So if those who are, what it means is that those who are engaged in those things, which one, these things what's mentioned here, that brahmana dharma, like japam, dhyanam, kirtanam, namaskaram, paying obeisances, yajnam, performing sacrifices, studying Shastram, absorbed in the higher knowledge of analyzing the truth based on the knowledge of the Shastram, then one who has got control of the mind and senses, Shamam and Damam, and who are particular about following the rules and regulations, not attracted to sense gratification, engaged in pilgrimage, Tirtharanam, visiting holy places, temples, associating with the highly advanced souls, all these are symptoms of people who are engaged in the Vedic way of life, Vaidika Dharma. And it is reference to that Krishna is using that word Satvena Brahmana Janaha. See that word, Brahmana Janaha. Because those who follow Vaidika Dharma, in a natural way, Satvagunam will develop in them. Because that lifestyle is designed in that way. Lifestyle is designed in that way. You can keep a whole day busy in a Vedic system which will develop Satvagunam inside a person. Satvagunam inside a person. Satvagunam will grow. Practically, very little activity in relationship with the senses, sense enjoyment or material activities.
to a very limited extent. And because if he has to do something in this world, he will do it, the bare minimum, what's necessary. And as far as habits are concerned, the food, what he eats, everything will be very pure habits, and that too at the time when it is to be eaten. And so everything, his association, if you observe carefully, it will building up sattvagunam inside, sattvasambhati. And only when there is hunger, he will eat the food. And remaining time, he will engage in some of the activities related to sattvagunam. Like what Krishna says, chanting the holy name, studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, absorbed in the kirtanam, or engaged in satsangam, or in the deity worship, or visiting to pilgrim, engaged in pilgrimage, or visiting temples. And all the time, one way or the other, he is engaged in Krishna's relationship with Krishna. Everything in relationship with Krishna. So, if you keep on doing like that, sattvagunam will build up in that person. It has to build up in that person. And if it grows in a person, what will happen? That's what Krishna is saying there. Ubaryubari gachandi, he says there. Ubaryubari gachandi. He keeps going upwards, higher planets he goes to. Bhagavad Gita is the same verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Urdhvam gachandi sattvastha madhye tishtandi rajasa jaganya gunavrtisto adho gachandi tamasa. In other words, Krishna is saying, such people, once they have left the earthly planet, this is Bhulokam, then there is Bhurlokam, and then there is Surlokam, isn't it? They will go to Bhurlokam. Once they left this, they will go to Bhurlokam. And then they will go to Surgalokam. And after that, because of the increased sattvagunam, possibility is that they may leave the whole thing and go to Maharlokam, or Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. In that way, that is called Jnana Mandala. This Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam is called Karma Mandala. Karma Mandala. Here, karma is the deciding factor. There, jnanam is the deciding factor. Which one? Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. Those four planets, above these three planets, they are called Jnana Mandala. So, once you come to the Jnana Mandala, then they will progress further from there and they leave that as well. So, if you have come out of the Karma Mandalam and if you have come to the Jnana Mandalam and eventually if you get released from Jnana Mandalam also, that is called Krama Mukti. It is in the second canto. Sukadeva Goswami talks to Parikshit about that. Two kinds of liberation there. Krama Mukti is one which is the gradual liberation and the other one is instantaneous liberation from here. Instantaneously, without going through all this. So, this Krama Mukti is the one which in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna calls it as Devayanam. Remember that? Devayanam, Pitriyanam? Devayanam is this Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti means gradually going up. First of all, from Bhulokam due to Sattvagunam go to Bhurlokam. From there again go to Surlokam. And then, even there, because sattvagunam got up further, he manages to free himself from the effect of karma. Karma has gone away, finished for him. That means he entered into jnanam. Once he has entered into jnanam, then it is Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. Four planets there. That is the jnanamandalam. Once you are in the jnanamandalam, then there is no possibility of coming back to karma mandalam again. And once in the jnanamandalam, you will get the association of great, great personalities there. That's the advantage in the Jnana Mandalam. You don't have to look for it, you will get it. Here, even if you look for it, you won't get it in the Karma Mandalam. Here, you will get the association of big karmis. That's what you will get in the Karma Mandalam. But in the Jnana Mandalam, you will get the association of great jnanis, all the maharshis, rishis, sages, Sukadeva Goswami, and Vedavyas, and great, great personalities like that. You will get their association in the Jnana Mandalam. So, gradually you will go up due to their association, you will get promoted and eventually you will Jnana Mandalam and then you get celebrated. And that is called Krama Mukti. The other one is called Sadhyomukti. Sadhyomukti means instant is getting liberated here, right now in this world. But that is very exceptional cases. Exceptional cases. So,
For Devayanam, it is called Devayanam. This way going up is called Devayanam. So in order Devayanam to happen, Sattvagunam has to increase in a person. Sattvagunam has to increase in a person. If the Sattvagunam comes, in order Sattvagunam to happen, to grow, only thing what you have to do is, do such things, those karmam that create Sattvagunam. Engage in such karmam that creates Sattvagunam. That means that is instructed by the Veda, such karma. For example, waking up early in the morning, not sleeping in the morning, that creates Sattvagunam. Bathing in the water, and Vaidika system is offering respects to the sun and offering arkhyam to him. Sandhyavandanam, in all the three times chanting the Gayatri and engage in the service of the Devadas, puja, deity worship, all these things is the system in the parampara, in the tradition. So, all those things are Vedoktam. Vedoktam means that it is confirmed by the Veda, as it creates Sattvagunam. On the other hand, say, some people you can see, they'll wake up. It's difficult for them to get up before 10 o'clock in the morning. There's so many people, you can see that. And they get very upset if you make any noise in the morning. Like sometimes if you slam the car door or something like that, somebody came and he closed the car door and they got disturbed their sleep. And it's already 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, but they find it very disturbing for them. So you can see that. And 7, 8 o'clock is their Brahma Muhurtam. They're a great time in the bed sleeping. And about 10 o'clock they will get up. And then first thing, what do they do? Switch on the telly. Meanwhile, the kettle is on and the tea gets ready. All these are that tamogunam in the person, isn't it? Then they'll get their, by then the man comes with their daily star or daily newspaper, whatever that is. So one side, the television is broadcasting the news and then he is looking at the paper, something for more detailed information. He wants it from the paper. And then after that, by the middle of the day, then comes and gets into the car, drives around a little bit here and there, goes and visits some friends or some shopping, wanders around all the shopping malls looking for some friends gratification there. And whole day he will spend in this way. And then he will eat in between whatever he can get hold of, something here and there. So if you keep on living like this, tamogunam will get built up inside, and that person, he has to go down. That's the only hope for him. There's no other way. Nothing you can do about it. That these are all the nature of that tamogunam. So if you allow that to build up, without allowing sattvagunam to build up and don't follow the necessity to build up sattvagunam, this tamogunam will drag you down. Eventually it will pull you down. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, therefore, all that is required is to simply take notice of what Krishna says to us. How to follow the Vaidika Dharma properly. That what is Krishna spoken. How to live a life based on certain rules and regulations and in a disciplined way. So, what that has to be done, that has to be done. There is no question about that. And those rules has to be followed. Just like Pitrukarma, what they follow, what they say, that that there is certain time allotted for that, for Pitrukama, for example. And only in that time it should be done. That's the rule. But instead, for example, say you're offering to forefathers and all that. That is called Pitrukama, isn't it? So there is a time fixed for that. Early hours in the morning, say 5, 6 o'clock, that time. That's the time it's generally done. But these people who don't follow any rules and regulations, they will have their meal and everything at 12 o'clock. After that they'll say, we'll do our Pitrukarmam now. That's how they are like that. So if you do things like that, it will upset your very existence in this world, body itself. So whatever that has to be done at a particular time, you have to do it at that particular time. Not to suit your convenience. What has to be done in the morning, it has to be done in the morning, not in the evening. When everything is done, now let me do all my rounds at 10 o'clock in the night after wandering around the whole world.
after collecting all the rajogunam and tamogunam of the world, brought it in, and then come home, and then you want to do your spiritual activity. Therefore, it's not recommended and allowed either. Morning hours for spiritual life. Therefore, one must get up early and engage in the all the as many hours as possible in sattvagunam. In definitely in the daytime, you will have to have some rajogunam will be there due to karma. And so all these deity worship, meditation, japam, or namaskaram or obeisances, all of them should be done in the morning. Equally reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. But you can read them afterwards. Say for example, we can have Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in the evening, Bhagavatam, but it will not have the same benefit as having it in the morning. Best time is morning hours for studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything. The best time is early hours in the morning, when Sattvagunam is prominent in everybody at that time. So, Vaidhya Karmam, Krishna is saying, if Vaidhya Karmam is executed, because Vaidhya Karmam, Vedic injunctions are such, they tell you what you should do at what time, to that extent specific about it. Sometimes people are very different. In India you will see this. Many generations who have followed Vaidhya Dharma, they have changed to other dharma. They have changed to, some of them have changed to other dharma. When you follow Vaidhya Dharma, the principle is that you have to bathe in the morning, first thing, and keep yourself clean, and after that your spiritual activities follows. So, when they change their dharma from Vaidhya Dharma to another dharma, where these things are not important, which one? Waking in the morning, waking up early in the morning, those things are not important in certain other dharma. So what happened was, that when they were in Vaidhya Dharma, they knew that they should get up in the morning and they should bathe in the morning. So this was their habit when they were in the Vaidhya Dharma. When they changed their dharma to another way of life, these things was not anymore compulsory. So their spiritual life starts, say for example, 10, 12 in the morning. When everybody is ready, they get dressed and then they go. And they were coming back, and then they may take a bath afterwards, after coming back from there, whatever spiritual sadhana, what they were doing collectively, they finish that and they come back and then they do it. So some of them, what they started doing was that they said that tomorrow morning we have to go to our place of worship, wherever it is. So they will bathe the night before and then go to bed. And in the morning they will wake up and then they won't bathe anymore. So if you ask them, I had done the bathing yesterday, last night. That is their answer. So you can imagine, in Vaidhya Dharma that won't be tolerated. Once you wake up, that means you are impure. Inside, outside you are impure. And therefore you have to bathe in the morning. So when you keep changing, Krishna's point is, you follow everything strictly as per the instructions. As he said in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, a Shastra Vidhimul Srijya. Shastram is the authority. There you can't make any changes. And if you do like that, you won't get any benefit. Shastram only if you follow completely, you will have the benefit from that. And if you do that, Krishna says, Sattvagunam will build up in a person. And if that happens, Ubayubari Gachandi, you'll go up. And Rajogunam, what Krishna says? Andarajari means that he will take birth in the same world here. He will take birth. Suppose you engage in worse, bad activities, sinful activities, like Rajasa, Andarajarina means that you may take the birth like a rat or a snake or sometimes a cat or a dog and things like that. If you have done good things, even Rajogunam, the possibility that you will get a human body. That's all the difference is. But what's the point in getting a human body if that human body there is no spiritual life? Whether you get a human body or a dog's body, if there is no spiritual life in the human body, practically there is no difference between the dog's body and the human body. Is there? There is no difference. Only if there is spiritual life, then that human body is of some benefit. But otherwise, all the happiness what you are getting in your material life, in the human body, the dog is also getting very much similar happiness. His happiness is in a different plane, that's all. He even don't have to build big buildings and cars and other things. But he has got his own happiness in that dog's body. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that unless you have spiritual life, you are not going up. If there is no spiritual life, you are not going up, no matter what body you have got, whether it's human body or a dog's body. And even in the human body, if there is no spiritual life, even if you have got all the comforts in this world, you have not much different than the cat's body or the dog's body. That's the important point. So, Urdhangachanso, you can see here that Satugunam creates this situation. And Rajasagunam, the other disadvantage is always in the dream state. In the dream state. And avyahrata means that in his situation, there is no identity who he is. All he is thinking is, that I have to do this, I have to do that. If you ask him, who is this I, he hasn't got a clue. But he wants to do it. Some kind of madness inside him. And similarly, if you give that person, who is in the Rajogunam, at the time of death, if you give him some water, it won't go in him. Because of that, the Rajogunam. And it may be in a situation that you may have to move him around to feel comfortable. In that Rajogunam, all these things happen. So, all the time, without any awareness, in a kind of a deep sleep, or sometimes in severe pain, all these things are the effects of the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. They manifest completely at the time of death in that person. It will manifest completely at the time of death. For example, they will die in the deep sleep state. They will die in the deep sleep state. That is one of the aspects of that. And the reason for that is Tamogunam has built up inside very strongly. And the possibility is that they will go down to the lower planets, Atholoka. In the olden days, because of this reason only, Brahmanas always were engaged in the Vaidika Karma. Something or the other they will be doing whole day. Even now, some people you will observe this. In the morning hours they will spend in chanting, deity worship, paying obeisances to the deity, or cooking some nice prasadam offering for the deities. In this way they will engage themselves many hours in the morning. But after some time, body does not want to do anything, but mind and the intelligence they want to absorb. In that situation, they'll take up some important literature like Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Ramayana, Mahabharata, and they will keep reading it, or their commentaries. In this way, not allow the mind to get absorbed in the world outside. So, and Brahmana's life, if you look, you will see there from 3 o'clock in the morning when they get up, they start their activities. And so many mantram they have got. Sahasranama, Vishnu Sahasranama, Lalita Sahasranama, similarly Shiva Sahasranama, and similarly they will chant 1,000 times Gayatri or Sri Rudram, Shamakam. There is number of them listed in the Vedic literature for them to absorb in that. And in addition to that, they have Swadhyayam. They studied the Shastram well, Tattva Vicharam. That means getting absorbed in the commentaries of the great devotees or great jnanis who have studied Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Puranam, Upanishads, everything. Their commentaries on that, they'll get absorbed in that way. So, if you do all these things throughout the day, will not Sattugunam come to them? Sattugunam will naturally come to them, isn't it? And due to that,
this urdhvam, get the passage to the higher planets will happen, and the satugunam, and if the satugunam gets very stronger in a person, he will go to the higher planets. There is no chance of going back to the lower planets. Satve pralina suryandi naralokam rajolayaha tamolayastu nirayam yandi mameva nurgunaha. Satve pralina suryandi naralokam rajolayaha tamolayastu nirayam yandi mameva nurgunaha. Mameva nurgunaha. Krishna says, there, satugunam, if it builds up strongly, then he will definitely go to the surlogam. He has to go to the bhulogam, bhulogam, then he will go to surlogam. Rajogunam, if it comes, where it builds up strongly inside, he will definitely take birth here again. And if in tamogunam, that means Krishna is saying, in satugunam, if he dies in satugunam, he will definitely go to Svarlogam. If he die in Rajogunam, he will definitely take birth in this world. And if he die in the Tamogunam, he will go to the lower planets. And that person who has gone to the lower planets, he will remain there for some time. That is decided by various other considerations. And then he will come and take birth in the earthly planet again, Bhulogam again. And suppose you have escaped from all the three gunam here in this world. You have escaped from all the three gunam, satugunam, rajogunam, and tamogunam. And at the end of life, in nirgunam state, you left this world. In that case, he goes back to Krishna direct. To the spiritual world. Either he gets fully liberated, he doesn't have to go through this step process. He gets fully released from the material life, and once for all, he has gone back. And one of those, Salokyam, Samipyam, Sarupyam, Sarshti, Sayujam, one of the liberated state, he reaches that state. Krishna is saying there, Satve Pulina Suryandi, Naralokam Rajolayaha, Tamo Layastu Nirayam, Yandi Mameva Nurguna. After saying that, in the next verse, few verses, Krishna is saying that how based on the build-up of these three gunam in a person, how the karmam come, his activities, goes in three directions. Based on the build-up of these three gunam in a person, how his karma will turn in three different directions. Madarpanam nishphalamva satvijam nijakarmatat rajasam phalasankalpam himsaprayadi tamasam. Madarpanam nishphalamva satvijam nijakarmatat rajasam phalasankalpam himsaprayadi tamasam. So, first thing is, Krishna says, Madarpanam nishphalam va. Suppose you continuously give service to Krishna, whichever way possible. If you keep on giving all your energy in serving Krishna, then you don't have to accept any results of your karma. First thing. Any karma for which you continuously give your energy and effort, everything in Krishna's service. If you do like that, Krishna is saying here, you don't have to, madarpanam nishphalam va. There won't be any results coming from that. Because he offered to Krishna. Therefore, in Sir Krishna's service. And any karmam, if it is offered to Krishna, it has no results. So, satika karmam, if you do that, if you do satika karmam means, it's not offered to Krishna, but it is in goodness. Such karmam, if you do, Krishna says there, satvikam nija karma tad. Nishpalam satyam nija karma tad. Because you have to experience, suppose, pious activities. Like this, say for example, you have made a lot of money and used the money for building hospitals, schools, or different kind of charitable activities what is going on in this world, various kinds of charitable things, isn't it? That is all belongs to that category. It is in Sattugunam it is done, but at the same time, the results will come from that. And in order to experience those results, you have to take birth again. That is the problem. That results may be good, because that you have done some tyagam, sacrifice you have made from the wealth what you have created. But the problem with that is, you will have to accept another body to experience the results of all that. So, through one of pious activities. So, and not only that, in Sattugunam, you will do such karmam, which is very much based on dharma, dharmigam, karma. They are like that. And they are offering everything to Krishna, and if it is done like that, completely offered to Krishna as results of that, then it can turn out to be a cause for getting released from the field of karma, from the field of karma. Instead, if the same karma is done with expectation of results, then it is rajasam. Then it is rajasam. See the difference between satyagam and rajasam. Madarpanam nishphalam va. If it is offered to Krishna, no results will come from that. It goes to, Krishna takes away that. No results will be given. It is done purely to as a service to please Krishna. So, madarpanam nishphalam va. Madarpanam nishphalam va. Satyagam nija karma tad. If you engage in sattugunam karmam, you will have to come back here. The results may be good, but pious activities, the results, you will have to experience that. Rajasam bhala sangalpam. The problem with rajogunam is, Krishna is saying here, that in where you had expectation of results, you had expectation of results, and you have to experience that results. Bhala bhukti it's called. So, or if you are doing things for others' benefit, or if it has gone for expectation with himsa, for example, causing problems to others, or if you are, it is causing destruction to others, or by your actions, it has resulted in the degradation of others. You have to understand that properly, what it means. Suppose you have started a system of certain things, ongoing things, and the result of that, after effect of that in somebody else, he gets degraded by that. Suppose for your own, say, like industry, factories and industry and all that, many factories and industries, the problem is that they engage so many people, they say we give jobs to them. But the after effect in them is that due to that particular kind of work they are engaged in, ragam, dvesham and lobham, these kind of things develops in that person excessively. It builds up inside. That person gets degraded due to that karma. So, but you have given him some karma and said that you are going to help him in his life to live in this world and engaging him in the different kinds of activities. So, such karma, Krishna says, is tamasam. Is tamasam. That karma which degrades others, which brings them, pulls them down in life, in their spiritual life, it causes degradation for them. Now, you can't ask the question that, oh, at least he is giving him a job, so he should be, he's doing a good thing, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not seen like that from the Shastram. Shastram point of view, that if you are engaging others in any karma, that karma should elevate him instead of degrading him. If that karma is degrading him, for example, you can see alcohol business, meat business, and so many other business, gambling business, so many other things. You are engaging a lot of people in work, and given service to them and maintaining them, and you're saying that, oh, they got the job opportunities and so many other things. But what Krishna's point is, because those karmam, which engages such people in such karmam, degrades them in their spiritual path, in spiritual life,
they get affected by that. They don't have the knowledge and they don't have the opportunity to develop knowledge. They degrade after that. Such karma is called tamasam. Therefore, Krishna is saying that karma, the results of that karma, this person will have to accept that from that. So, therefore, while engaging in karma, one has to be very, very careful. Now, you can see this, very big industrialists or big corporations who have a lot of wealth, and in the name of economic development, they can pull the strings everywhere, mining industry, and all kinds of various kinds of industries they start, high technology industry, and bring a lot of people, they offer jobs to them and engage them in these kind of activities. Although superficially it looks justified that they are giving jobs to people, people put this unusual fear in their mind that we don't have any work, occupation, so therefore the whole thing is going to come down. It doesn't happen like that. If Krishna has created us in this world, I'm sure Krishna has a plan as far as our living in this world is concerned. It has to be provided. But because we don't have Krishna consciousness, we are thinking that everything we have to create in this world, we are taken upon our head. We don't want to follow Krishna's injunctions. Therefore, all the problems have come. As far as maintenance is concerned, Krishna's point is that what we require will be provided by the material nature. And the way to acquire that livelihood is through the way Krishna has spoken in the third chapter. Parasparam bhavayanda prema parama vapsyadha. Krishna says there that by engaging in activities such that will please the demigods, they will in return supply all the necessities of life. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. But because we have lost faith in Bhagavad Gita, we have lost faith in Krishna, and we have taken it upon ourselves, all these new modern ideas, that of industries, factories, and all kinds of exploiting businesses, the people who are behind it, they are not aware of that. The after effect of all this will come back to them. Because you have done severe damage to others in your own life. That is why Krishna is saying here that karmam, while engaging in karmam, one has to be very, very careful what kind of karmam is engaging. Like you can see that in the name of economic development, modern world is very much after that, isn't it? Economic development. That madness, how it affects the society. Here it has come to a stage, but countries which are now going into economic development, they are going through a very hard time. In many places, because they have to build these roads and airports and all sorts of things, they want many, many hotels and restaurants. This is all a part of this whole economic development thing, isn't it? The after effect of that is that it affects the whole social fabric, completely destroys the whole thing. So, every karma has got two aspects. One is called the pravrtam, other one is called the nivrtam. So, nivrtta karmam only one should do. Pravrtta karmam is going to destroy him eventually. Nivrttam karma seveda pravrttam malpare tejet. Krishna says this in the 10th chapter. If you remember, when you read Bhagavatam, you will notice this. The 10th chapter, when Krishna started talking to Uddhava about the Varnashrama Dharmam. That is where it says. See that fourth verse. Nivrttam karma seveda pravrttam malpara tejel jityasayam sampravrto nadriyet karma chodanam. Very important words. Nivrttam karma seveda. That karmam which will make you nivrti, which will create nivrti, that should be done. Pravrttam malpara tejel. Pravrtta karmam, one should give up. Pravrtta karmam is all these things. Activities in this world to exploit others and not being caring about their spiritual welfare. Instead, completely to exploit them, starting new ventures and abusing them, using them. But in your mind, we are thinking that, you are helping them. This is your internal calculations. Internally you are thinking, because I started this factory, so many people have got jobs here. But what the factory is doing, that you don't look at. So many, lot of these modern business ventures, all is in this category. Many of these factories, You can see the people who have gone to these kind of institutions and worked whole life there, how, when they come out after their retirement, there's worthless. Nothing then in life left for them. 50, 60 years has struggled in the factory on the shop floor or manufacturing this or manufacturing that, but when they come out, after that, the life is practically over. There's nothing else to do in life, isn't it? Practically, it's a waste of life. So Krishna is saying that point, he has already spoken in the 10th chapter. Nivrtam karma saveda. Pravrtam valpare tejet. Then he says, jinyasayam sampravrto nadriyet karma chodanam. Udhava, even if karma comes back and start pulling you into that, don't go behind that. Don't go behind that. Because if you are busy with self-inquiry, if you are serious in spiritual life, and you have got busy with spiritual life, then you don't have to worry about all these things. Karma. And if this karma is becoming an obstacle in your advancement in spiritual path, give up the karma. Krishna is saying to Uddhava. That's what he said. If the karma is becoming an obstacle in your spiritual advancement, give up the karma. That's what he said. Nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam alparatejet jitnyasayam sampravrto nadriyel karma chodanam. After saying all these things, Krishna is saying here also, then pravrtta karmam one should not do. Pravrttam means what? With fruitive activities, basically. All fruitive activities is pravrttam. I am doing this, and I am doing it for this purpose, and with full identification with it. I need the results for me, and a lot of desires connected with that karma. All that is pravrttam. Nivrttam means, any karma you are doing, Krishna should be pleased with this. Let this please Krishna. And everything, good or bad, whatever it comes, that does not bother. That Krishna is the decision maker. Whether what results come from that, that is Krishna's considerate. Krishna's problem, not my problem. In that way, engaging in karma. And making yourself available in that service, in that process of serving Krishna. That means you become an instrument in Krishna's plans. And whatever Krishna is engaging you to do, just do that without any question. And saying that, Krishna says, that's all happens. And then he's going to talk to Krishna about the nature of karma. Krishna has spoken about the karma's nature, the three svarupam. Nature of three karma, Krishna has spoken. Now Krishna says that knowledge also has three forms. Here, Krishna has spoken about karma first, isn't it? Madarpanam, first he spoke about karma. What are they? Madarpanam nishphalamva, satyam nija karmatan, rajasam bhalasangalpam, himsa prayadi tamasam. They are satyam rajasa tamasam and the karma under these three modes he has spoken there. Satyika karmam, rajasa karmam, tamasa karmam. Tamasa karma means it will only destroy the person who is doing it and the person who is organizing it. They all get destroyed in that process if the karmam is tamasam. If the karmam is rajasam, then it will be completely based on the results, result-oriented, in other words. Completely result-oriented. That if the results has to be favorable, and with that faith you are doing the karma. That is rajasam. Satyam nija karma tat. Satyam is performed, Krishna mentions there, that that karma is first that karma which has come to him due to prarabdham, whatever that has come to him. It's not that he has gone and caught hold of something. It has come to him. And that karma has been offered to Krishna. The results of karma has gone to Krishna. It is not anymore, he is not identifying, that means I am the doer and the enjoyer is not there in that person. He is doing his karma because it's offered. So therefore, madarpanam nishpalamba satyam nijakarmatat marajasam bhalasangalpam himsapraayaditamasam. So, madarpanam nishpalamva satyam nijakarmadar. It is offered to Krishna and it is not no expectation of results from that, and that is a satya karma. Rajasa karma means completely desiring the results from the karma. And tamasa karma means that karma which will destroy him and destroy others as well. So, in these three ways, Krishna has classified karma and told us. After that, Krishna is saying, knowledge also, in same way, goes into three categories. That's the next verse.
Kaivalyam satyam jnanam rajo vaikalpikam chayal prakritam tamasam jnanam mannishtam nirgunam smritam. Kaivalyam satyam jnanam rajo vaikalpikam chayal prakritam tamasam jnanam mannishtam nirgunam smritam.
So, if you have developed knowledge inside, that knowledge in relationship with soul is satyam. If whatever knowledge you have built up inside, if that knowledge is about Atma, there is a lot to know about Atma, isn't it? Atma is just not good enough saying Dehi Nosmin Yata Dehi. That's not enough. Atma, to know Atma, Upanishads are there. Then there is all the particular Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. It's all about the soul. All Upanishads are about, Brahma Sutram is about the soul. Then all the great acharyas, the books they have written about the soul. Soul and spiritual life, in other words. Then Puranams, all Puranas talks about soul, but in a different way, presented to us. Similarly, Ramayana, Mahabharata, so many literature to teach us about soul. So that knowledge, which is cultivated in relationship with the soul, Krishna says, that is satyam. That is satyam. Because all of them are teaching us about Atma, which is different from the body. That is why it is satyam. Then, rajo vaigalpikam chayat. Any knowledge that is developed centered around the body is rajasam. Centered around the body means all the happiness what you get from the bodily enjoyment, senses and sense enjoyment, that knowledge. Like our modern education practically. All the whole modern education is rajasam. Is it not? Only good for developing the body or looking after the body or bodily happiness, bodily comforts. That's only the goal. Nothing more than that. Nothing to do with the soul. You don't need all this modern education. So therefore he says here, rajo vaigalpikam chayat, that because it is centered around the body, that knowledge, it is rajasam. Body and the bodily extensions and bodily comforts, bodily happiness, that's the only goal there. Therefore it is rajasam. Then he says, prakritam tamasam jnanam. Krishna says, knowledge of those who are like children, their knowledge, the children. And similarly, people who have got prakritam tamasam jnanam, who have got, say for example, who have got so many disabilities in body and the mind, their knowledge also goes in a different level. It's difficult for them to develop the higher knowledge. Therefore, Krishna says their knowledge is also called tamasam. It is in tamasam. Mannishtam jnanam nirgunam smritam. And suppose you have developed knowledge of Krishna, properly understood Krishna, or realization has happened, in that way, if it has happened, that knowledge, Krishna says, is that is nirgunam smritam. It is nirgunam. Nirgunam. It is beyond the three modes of nature. You can see here one thing. Satya Jnanam and Nirguna Jnanam, they are very close. In Satya Jnanam, Krishna is saying, Kaivalyam Satyam Jnanam. Practically, you have knowledge of the, of Atma. Knowledge of the Kaivalyam Satyam Jnanam. Knowledge of the soul is there. And if that knowledge develops further, and it leads to start getting realizations inside, it becomes nirguna. That's when it becomes nirguna. That means that knowledge has grown to such level that it has completely changed your life. Nirgunam smritam, Krishna says. So, knowledge, all living entities have got knowledge in this world. But knowledge in the Vedika tradition, like the way Vedam present the knowledge to us, that only not many people have, isn't it? Knowledge everybody has in this world. But knowledge in the Vedic tradition, like the way Upanishads and Brahma Sutra, they present it, that kind of background and knowledge is limited. That means knowledge of the Vedam, Vedantam, all these things are limited to people, only limited people. And when Vedam is presenting the truth, the spiritual knowledge, Adhyatmiya Jnanam, and that comes into experience level later. But knowledge of the Paramasatyam, Paramasatyam means ultimate truth, and that is, Krishna calls it as Vedantam. Krishna calls it as Vedantam or Advaitam, they call it. And that is that 28th chapter. We will see when we come to 28th chapter, when Krishna is talking about Paramasatyam. Paramasatyam means absolute truth. Absolute truth. There is no more any kind of explanations to it. No more explanations at that stage. All Krishna is saying here, Uddhava, it is like this. If you have reached it, you got it. And then after that, you don't want to know anything anymore. That state comes there. So that is called Paramasatyam, absolute truth. Absolute truth. So that realization, only very, very, very few people have that. When you read that 28th chapter, you will know that. That stage, who has got it, there may be very, very few in this world. So, but to get there, you are cultivating knowledge now, based on Upanishads, Puranam, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita and all that. That is Satyugam. So you see the difference there, between Satyugam and Nirgunam. Nirguna means what Krishna says in the 28th chapter. If you are in that realized state, if you have realized all that, your knowledge is Nirgunam. Krishna says your knowledge is Nirgunam, because there is no modes there. But in order to get there, you have to cultivate Sattvagunam. And in Sattvagunam, to help there, you have to develop the knowledge of these Vedic literature. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Puranam, all those things. That will develop that, help you to develop that knowledge later. So that is the Satyugya Jnanam Krishna is talking about here. So Satyugya Jnanam, the question is here, then, in the, when Advaita Jnanam or Vedantam, what Krishna says is Vedantam or Advaitam, which is that 28th chapter, when that knowledge is there in a person, he has no vigalpa. Do you know what that means? That means that there is no, in his experience level, he has no doubts. He is in that state, so therefore he has no problems anymore with anything. He has reached that state and he is situated in that state. Therefore, there is no more further questions to ask. There is no more further clarifications necessary in that state. That is that Nirgunam state, Nirguna Jnanam, which is Krishna calls it as Advaitam Vedantam, Vedanta state. But before you get there, we have to study the Shastram, reflect on it very well, analyze it, hear a lot, and in your own mind you have to keep on churning it for quite a long time here. While in that situation you will get Vigalpa. Vigalpa means different thought waves will come and you will create a lot of questions and doubts inside. That stage is Satyugya Jnanam. You have not got there yet. You are in the state of inquiry still. But you are fixed in spiritual life. You are still the seeker of the truth, looking for the truth. You still want to realize the truth. But Chittavritti has not finished yet. Thought waves are still coming, doubts are coming, but you are fixed up in going through the process. You are established in that. So, Satyugya Jnanam is the lower level from the Nirguna Jnanam. In Nirguna Jnanam, doubts are gone. It's already in your experience level, so you're not going to have any problems anymore after that. So, Vigalpam has gone away in that stage. Here, still there is Vigalpam. That's the difference between the Satyugya Jnanam and the Nirguna Jnanam. Very explicitly, Krishna is mentioning that there.
that he says there, Kaivalyam Satyam Jnanam. Rajo Vaikalpikam Chayat. Prakritam Tamasam Jnanam. Mannishtam Nirgunam Smritam. He says, Mannishtam Nirgunam Smritam. Mannishtam means you are established in the truth. You see? Mannishtam. Nishtam means to getting established in the truth. So, if you are established in the truth, it's Nirgunam. It's Nirgunam. But before you get established in the truth, you will go through this whole painful process of inquiry, satsangam, and studying the Shastram, reflection on that, and withdrawing senses mind from the world. All this is a part of that Satyika Jnanam process. That is the Satyika stage. It is from the Satyika stage, finally you come to that Nirgunam stage. Nirgunam state. So, in the Sattvagunam state, Satyika Jnanam, you are still thinking in terms of, I am this person, I am 5'10" or 6 feet tall, I have got 2 hands, 2 legs, I have got 5 senses, and you are in that state of the senses, body, mind, intelligence. You are in contact with all these things. And therefore, these upadhi, they will create vigalpam in you. What will they do? They create vigalpam, is it not? Like when you have a body, even though you are in the satyam state, the body will still create vigalpam. Body will create some problem and your mind and thoughts will go after the body. Or the mind will create some problem and your thoughts will go after that. Similarly, mind, body, intelligence, and your ego will create problem and you will go after that. So that means, even though you are in the Satya Jnanam, still the Upadhi will influence your knowledge. Upadhis have an influence on your knowledge at that stage. You see? Whereas, once you have come to Nirgunam stage, Upadhis can't even touch you because you have gone beyond the Upadhi. That is the difference. Upadhis don't have any influence on you anymore. Upadhi cannot even touch you. Even if there is some problem with the body, the knowledge, you are still very firm inside because it's realized and you are in that state all the time. That is the difference. And therefore, when you are in the Satya Jnanam, your spiritual life also, or your sadhana, upasana and all, is a little bit impure. It's not very pure because Upadhi's influence is there. Do you understand? That in Satya Jnanam, when you are situated, even though there is knowledge, your sadhana, upasana and everything is very much influenced by the upadhi, by the mood of the mind, or if you are very sick in the body, your sadhana won't be very good, is it not? Or you are getting older, or you have got some indigestion, or something like that, anything that happens in the body, it will definitely have some substantial effect on your knowledge as well, on your Satya Jnanam. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, that is a little different than the Nirguna Jnanam. In Nirgunam state, what will happen is, he is realizing who he is. He has realized it already, who he is. Therefore, there is no mind even for him. He doesn't have a mind at that time. If you have come to that stage, that is perfection of Jnanam, and then he is established in the Atma, in the truth. For him, there is no sadhana anymore. Sadhana, upasana and all these things is before you get there. Once you have got there, then there is no more sadhana, no more upasana, because you have become that. You have become that. So, and only thing is, after that, that established state, you have to remain there like that. And that is called, so many names for that, Jnana Nishtha. Somebody calls it as Jnana Nishtha. Some people call it as Brahma Nishtha. Some people call it as Atma Nishtha. All different words means one and the same thing. Means one and the same thing. So, so here, Jnani is, Krishna is saying here, those people who have come to that state, they have no trace of any modes of nature in them at that stage. No contact with any of the modes here. But sometimes
Because they have come, say for example, somebody has reached that state, which one? Nirgunam state. But sometime before, he was in the Sattugunam, wasn't it? So sometimes, it will take a while for Sattugunam to come out from him. So there will be a traces of Sattugunam in him, sometimes. When he has left Sattugunam and became Nirgunam, 100% won't go away immediately. It will take time. Just like when you come to Rajogunam from Tamogunam, for a long time, Tamogunam is controlling us. But somehow or the other, suppose you have come to Rajogunam, still that Tamogunam has not gone, it is still will be there to some extent. Similarly, from Rajogunam to Sattugunam also, the gunam what you are leaving behind, the traces of that will still be there in you. It won't go away completely. Completely to get rid of Rajogunam, Tamogunam is difficult. It will stay in us. Similarly, when you go from Sattugunam to Nirgunam stage also, Sattugunam won't withdraw easily. There will be traces of Sattugunam still left inside. And due to that presence of Sattugunam, there could be, there is some possibility that sometime there will be some things he may do in the Sattugunam. In the Sattugunam. But one thing is there, that Sattugunam he has gone beyond than that, and Sattva Sambhati was there in him before, therefore that will be only something in relationship with further progress in spiritual life. It won't be anything to drag him back into something in the material life. It will not happen. So, Rajasa Jnanam, Tamasa Jnanam, Sattvika Jnanam, three things. Sattvika Jnanam will always help you in going up. Always. It will help you in going up. So, even if you have left Sattugunam and gone to Nirgunam, even if there is some traces of Sattugunam, eventually it won't cause you any damage because it's Sattugunam. It will only leave you in a nice way. It will leave you and go, finally, when you come out. That means you will only go up, you won't go down. Instead, if it is Rajogunam, what will happen is, if there is still Rajogunam, Rajogunam creates Vigalpam. That's the problem. It creates Vigalpam. And Tamogunam is very, very crude. And therefore, if there is too much Tamogunam in a person, that person will only get attracted to material knowledge, material life, and developing material life, developing material knowledge, all these things will become more and more the priority in life. You see how damage they do. When Tamogunam gets stronger in a person, it will push him more and more to develop the knowledge of the material life, material activities, material sciences, and things like that. And not only that, Krishna is saying here, he won't know anything, he won't have any knowledge about Atma except about the world and the matter. All his knowledge will be centered around the world and centered around the matter. There are some people like that. You can. When you talk to them, you'll be amazed by their knowledge of the world. But as soon as you bring up the topic about self or Atma, you will see quietly they withdraw. They'll withdraw from the place. They say, oh, that's not my subject, they'll say. In a very polite way, they will put it to you and they'll walk out. They don't want to hear also about it. That nature you can observe in people. But you talk to them about something else, say underground train or aeroplanes, they will give you very precise information. How many seats are in the A330 or 777? They'll have complete precise knowledge. What engines are used in the aircraft? And what altitude they fly? What's their thrust, power? All sorts of things related to the aircraft. They'll have full information. They can give it to you. Similarly, you ask them anything about medicines, medical field, what kind of drugs to buy, who manufactures that, the after effect of the medicine. They'll have full knowledge of that. And you will be impressed by their knowledge of the material world and the material science. Material world, they have such a perfect understanding of everything. And similarly, if you ask them about any information in this world, about dealing with the government, dealing with the different offices, and And about cars, for example, some people when they talk about it, such finer depth, they will tell you everything about it. But as soon as you start telling them about the soul, Bhagavad Gita and all that, this is too much for them. Some kind of block comes there. That's what Krishna is saying here also, that the kaivalyam satyam jnanam, rajo vaikalpikam chayat, pragradam tamasam jnanam, mannishtam nirgunam smritam. Mannishtam nirgunam smritam. In other words, self-realization, it will not help. But all the knowledge will be centered around sense gratification. Nothing to do with the self-realization. That is the problem. That's what Krishna is saying there. So we'll stop there. We'll have a few minutes kirtan and then we will have prasadam.